check it out.
The views and opinions expressed in the following program by show hosts or their guests are their own.
That's right.
And not necessarily those of the Opie and Anthony Show, the Ron and Fez Show, or XM Satellite Radio.
Bring the ship up to broadcast depth. We're going in.
Passing you into FM.
False security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are and everything that you can never be. Yes, an eye is upon you, an eye ready to blink. So face forward. With arms wide open and mind reeling, your future has arrived. Are you ready to go?
The Hideout.
It is an FM Jerry Springer freak show shoveled to the lowest common denominator.
The Hideout.
We've got a power to the people routine and a very loyal fan base.
The Hideout.
We're all being lobotomized by this country's most influential industry.
The Hideout.
Either you're with us or you're against it.
The Hideout starts now.
Be somebody!
Be somebody!
What's new?
What are you doing?
Welcome into the Hideout XM 202. I am El Jefe, that is J-Dubs, and we are here with you on this fantastic Saturday evening. How are you anyway?
I want to thank Mel Karmazin for giving us this tryout slot. I hope everything turns out well with it, you know, and we can be doing nights every night here on XM Sirius. It's very exciting for us.
Sirius XM Radio.
Whatever. Mel said I can say whatever I want about it, and we're all good. I'm a consultant.
Right.
Anyways,
of course. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you be?
I'm brilliant.
How are you? Really good to be back. In case you don't know who we are, I am Hefe. That is Dubs. This is The Hideout. We used to host a show in Orlando, did late nights after Ron and Fez in D.C., where we are currently heard Saturday nights on WJFK.
Right now we're doing all sorts of little mini shows everywhere.
One of them.
Yeah, and if you search it out, you can find everything that we do everywhere. Go to hideoutradio.com. That'll link you to different fan boards. And I want to push the ronfez.net board, too, because, Ron and Fez are the reason why we're doing this show right now.
I thought it was Mel.
Well, Mel through Ron and Fez.
Gotcha. Yeah. I understand.
Mel doesn't call me directly. It's kind of like spy-type shit.
Well, of course. Where, I mean, why would you, you don't want him to have your phone number to be bugging you all the time.
No.
Mel's
a late caller.
Well, you understand.
He gets all worked up into a lather and calls us.
He's working hard. That's the thing. He's making stuff happen. I'm sorry, making shit happen. My apologies. That's who we are. And we're obviously huge fans of Ron and Fez and O&A and Howard. You can say that now on this channel.
Yes.
So it's fantastic to be here with you as we roll for the next 3 hours, my friend. If you want to participate, do that via hideoutheretics.net or ronfez.net. All right, so I guess people kind of know now. They don't know the newest person that you and I have brought into the Hideout.
No.
Some people have listened to us in previous inceptions of this show.
Some of us have heard us on Ron and Fez just calling in or hanging out with them.
Even as sometimes old shows get played, occasionally you and I will pop up on whatever incarnation we were with Ron and Fez. But we have a new friend here with us that we want to introduce the nation to, and he is not someone that we would be proud of. However, for those of you on Sirius XM Radio right now that are in your truck, you're a trucker, and I know that's a big part of the base, the constituency, truckers.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving through Arkansas. This man is a legend there. I would like to welcome into the Hideout for the first time here on Sirius the Satchel Patch.
Lurking in the shadows.
I'm appalled. Absolutely appalled and outraged.
Lip Satchel.
That anybody would stoop
to a stunt like that.
They don't know who this man
is. Officials say a prankster from a local radio station.
Lip Satchel.
You're looking at exclusive Fox 16 video.
They don't know who this man is.
Witness the consequence. That is the Satchel Patch.
Lip Satchel.
I'm appalled. Absolutely appalled and outraged.
The man that was wearing the Speedo.
Lip Satchel is obscene.
Officials say a prankster from a local radio station spoiled part of that.
Radio personality. Lip Satchel.
KRK4's Dave Jordan joining us now live with more on this. Dave, what'd you find out?
That man is known to listeners as Lip Satchel. Now his actions are creating a buzz of their own.
And now, Lip Satchel.
The biggest redneck on the fucking earth. Welcome into the hideout nationwide, Satchel Patch. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. I appreciate you two nice fellas for letting me join you this Saturday evening. It's I've never been on satellite radio before, so this is all new to me, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I want to say that I've never been called a radio prankster, and I never want to be.
Yeah, you are one of those retards that gets into the news, or you were, with your gimmicky morning zoo.
The morning
going
buzz.
Around, yeah, going around dancing in Arkansas at gay parades, right?
Well, it was almost... It needed to be done. There was nobody out there doing it, and they're starting to run around the streets and kind of take over. And, you know, I decided to join in the festivities, put my Speedo on, go out there, hand out some gay porn to the masses. And it didn't turn out as well as planned. I got in a little trouble for it, but that's all right.
What kind of trouble?
A couple of felonies. I got charged distributing obscene material to minors and adults. There was a 16-year-old kid who ended up getting one. And instead of stashing it under his bed and yanking to it a little bit later, he went and turned it into his little mommy and the police.
And so, but now you had to move. You were banned from Arkansas. You end up in Florida, where we are right now in our Tampa Bay hideout. And somehow we end up at the same radio station. And lo and behold, we got you on our radio show. Even though when we heard about this stunt when it originally happened, we were on WJFK, we were like, what a fucking loser.
What an
this
idiot.
Guy sucks.
It was pretty stupid, you know, to tell you the truth, now that I look back at it, going to the middle of a gay pride parade, putting a Speedo on with your dick and balls hanging out both sides of it, and going out there and saying, look at this, I got porn for you. And it was an eye-opening experience. I had a couple of queers coming up taking pictures of my junk.
Of course.
Yeah, the chums right there.
You know, it was almost a little offensive, but I was kind of asking for it, and then... You know, I came to the realization it's not their fault I'm beautiful. You know, if I was them, I'd be attracted to me too. So, hey, fag, I don't blame you for
all
taking
right,
a picture
of my junk. You don't have to go that far. Jesus. If you want to see a photo of us, we also have a page. Just link through Hideout Radio. Go to WJFK and you can see all of us and what we all look like. All right. So, here we are. We got a lot of shit we want to do over the next 3 hours. One of the things is getting reacquainted with you guys if you haven't heard us in a little while. I feel like the show's gotten better. I'm feeling like the hideout is back where it used to be.
We're having fun again.
It really is. The last time we did this show on XM, it was, I think we were part of the Night of 100 podcast.
Yes.
The first go-around. And Dubs just was in a real shitty place in his life. I mean, really bad. So I spent the whole hour.
Was this last night?
No. I spent the whole hour with this guy trying to convince him to convert to this yardstick of death religion that I had created. And he did. The yardstick of death is essentially a yardstick with a gun on one side and a bullet on the other. For every shitty day you have, you move the bullet 1 inch closer to that gun. You have a net of 36 shitty days. You are blowing your fucking head off. Unfortunately, Dubs is alive.
Well, yeah, I'm alive, but I have been doing stuff on yardstickofdeath.com. Anybody can go there and check it out.
Ron Bennington's referenced it a few times, so that's hilarious.
Yeah, if you go there, I basically, and I don't mean for it to be hilarious, it's just what goes on in my head and what goes on my normal days. And I blog it, and then people can sit there and read it. I kind of keep a tally of the inches and everything. I take weekends off.
How close have you got?
The closest I got, I think so far, is like 23 inches to it.
And then the motherfucker just turned it around.
Yeah.
He just turned his life around for whatever goddamn reason it
sucked. Like he had some maybe Flintstone orange push-ups. Orange sherbet always does the trick for me. If you're having a bad day, a little bit of orange sherbet, there
of course,
you go.
That's what works for retards. But the problem is that, you know, I mean, it really did. It did Dubs well.
Mm-hmm.
To the fact that you turned your life around. You know what I mean? So that's I guess, a positive. But at the same time...
There's some shitty things that happened to me throughout this whole thing. I mean, it just hasn't outweighed the good that's happened to me lately. There's I was living with El Jefe over there for a little while, about 16 months, renting a room at his place, and finally he kicked me out, said go get your own place, so I found another roommate, and I moved in about a month ago over there.
How'd you find this roommate?
Craigslist, where I find all things that I am into.
Any females, that's where you usually snag them from.
Yeah.
Females, right. Gotcha.
Any of those types of things I find right there on Craigslist, which has worked out good and bad for me. Mm-hmm. As of late, this is my first month actually in the apartment. I paid the first month up front, and then tomorrow the rent's due again. And I've been informed about 2 days ago that my roommate doesn't have any rent money. So
payback, fucker.
I'm trying to figure out how to pay that.
Payback for all those fucking times this asshole didn't have rent from me.
So, I always had rent for you when he asked for it.
What's your conclusion that you've come to? What are you going to do?
I still don't know.
Whore the bitch out.
I was going to say, right, but that's not appropriate. So, you got to find another way. You still don't know what you're going
to
do?
Not really. I mean, I'm going to probably have to pay it.
Really?
Jesus.
Probably.
I don't want to get caught up in your bullshit. I'll be honest with you. It's we're here. We're trying to have fun. It's Saturday night, and getting caught up in the world of dubs just sucks. However, the reason I referenced Yardstick of Death, you did do something actually pretty funny over there. You want to get BJ on the phone?
Sure.
Your cousin, Bicurious BJ. One of the things that dubs will do, as he goes through on this yardstickofdeath.com, is he blogs everyday things that happen.
Yeah.
One of his latest entries that's up there is about a scenario that he and his cousin, Bicurious BJ, were in the middle of, like, dreaming out. And the dream that these two... Like, what's your dream, Satchel Patch? Do you have any dream in life?
Not really. This is pretty much it. Hanging out
this
with
is
a couple
it.
Of losers on the radio.
This is really all you have. This is the top of the food chain. You realize from here it's going to be all downhill because this will be the last time you'll be on satellite radio.
Eventually I'd like to do something to get me out of cutting grass. It's pretty much what I do to pay the bills, go out there, just a lawn jockey.
Right.
And go out there.
Don't be racist.
Edge, weed eat, get down and get busy. And anything to keep black boogers out of my nose at the end of the day is something that I'm looking forward to, and one of these days I'll be able to stop cutting grass.
Yeah, see, for me, this is kind of the ultimate, too, to be on satellite radio, to talk to nationwide audience, to do this kind of shit. But every once in a while, you do fantasize about stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you have fantasies of just scenarios in your life that you would love to see come true.
Almost if you bought a lottery ticket, and before the numbers come out, you've already planned how you're going to spend $20 million.
Right.
That
so
type of thing.
The other day, Dubs is on the phone with Bicurious BJ.
Yeah, after I got off work, we're just, kind of bullshitting around on the phone. And I bring up a scenario that I would love to live out. BJ, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on?
Oh, not much.
What are you
guys?
What are you doing?
Try to get dressed.
Yeah, where are you headed?
Outside.
To do what?
To talk to you on the phone.
Oh.
Yeah, he, for some reason, he still lives with his mom at 27 years old.
Mm.
And whenever he's on the phone, he doesn't like to bother her, so he goes outside and walks the block.
All right, so what'd you guys talk about? Oh, go ahead, Dubs.
One thing before we get into that. BJ, you went outside drunk the other night, and you said a guy was trying to proposition you into oral?
Yes, that happened.
What happened?
I went out to a local establishment around here in town, and had one too many.
Mm-hmm.
Got home, and I was outside talking on my phone, and a guy pulled up, and he pretty much just asked me directions to get somewhere, and I told him how to get there, and he went around the block. And he came back around the block again, and I'm talking to him, and a cop comes pulling up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just jump in the truck with the guy, and I'm like, hey, just, take me over here, because I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want that guy to get in any trouble. So.
Why were you afraid of the cops?
Because he was drunk.
You can't walk around Stockbridge, Michigan drunk?
Well, it's just look out. I'm barefooted. I'm standing in the middle of the street. I just said, I'm just going to jump in with you.
Yeah.
Let's just take off. So I jump in with
a
guy.
When did Kip's big boy be able to walk? When did that happen all of a sudden? All right, go ahead.
So I go, all right, well, take me over here. So he pulls me behind the building where I live at. And the guy's kind of talking, you know, I'm going to jump out, and the guy starts talking to me. He's like, "Say, what are you doing?" And then he made a few sexual jokes, but I didn't think anything of it. Still, yeah. I'm so drunk, I'm not even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot exactly how the guy worded it, but eventually he says, he asked me if I've ever given a blowjob before. And then I immediately,
how does that just come up?
What's that?
How's that come up? You'd be like, "Hey, man, wings, they're going to repeat?" I don't know.
No,
they might.
No.
So, you ever suck a dick?
No. So I tell the guy, I look at him, I thought he was kidding. And I look at him and I go, "No." And he goes,
"You fucking liar. I can see right through you. There's cum on your chin now."
He goes, "Well, you..." So I'm like, "Hey, man, I'll be right back. I got to run inside for a minute." The guy goes, I go, "You want anything to drink?" The guy's like, "Oh, no, I'm all set." I go, "All right, I'll be right back." And I shut the door and took off.
You left that motherfucker with blue balls. What a dick, man. You're an asshole.
The guy gave you a ride. You owe him something.
Exactly.
At least a hand job.
Well, it was just...
What'd he look like?
Dashing?
Oh, I'm trying to think of a way I can describe it.
Ted Nugent.
Were you trying to suck on Ted Nugent's fucking shotgun right there? Just,
I want you to have some of this venison.
No, it was just... The part that
chew on this jerky.
Was that I didn't even pick up on anything. You know, I mean, I didn't pick up on what this guy was trying to do until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even, I'm such an idiot.
Why'd you get in the car with him in the first place? You're lucky.
Exactly.
He didn't club you over the head. And
aren't you on probation? You're not supposed to be drinking. Isn't that what's going on with you?
That's probably why I jumped in the truck with him.
Wow. All right, let me ask you this. If he had fucking said, "All right, I'm going to drive you over to the police station right now, if you don't suck this cock," would you have done it?
I would have jumped out and ran.
Yeah, not gotten very far, you fat fuck. It is the Hideout.
Now, what tipped you off? Was it one word in particular, or was his little mushroom head sticking out right above his belt line, and you knew right then, man, he wants me to blow him?
No, I think it pretty much is when he said, "Ask me if I've ever sucked a dick before." Kind of, I guess what kind of tipped it.
And what you did was lied.
Yeah.
No, never.
Because you know you have. All right, so anyway, so that happens. By the way, every depraved story that Dubs has ever done, he has always done it with this prick on the phone right now, by Terry's BJ. You can learn more about BJ on hideoutheretics.net. All right, so you boys are then having a conversation the other day. What was that conversation?
That conversation was, I just brought up, I thought it would be really funny if I ever picked a chick up and she was really into me. And I talked her into...
That would be funny, because that hadn't happened in 5 years.
Yeah, I know. It happens every once in a while.
Craigslist.
Yeah, exactly. And it'd be funny if I tied her down, you know, like, and she was into it. She was like, "Yeah, I like to be tied up and handcuffed and all this kind of stuff." Tied her down and then said, "All right, she's ready," and have BJ walk out of the closet where he was hiding. And we fight over who's going to stab her and fuck her wounds first. And just get her really going and, like, afraid.
Like,
that
afraid?
We're, yeah, that we're serial killers and, you know, like, argue over, like, you know, who wants to cut her ankle off and fuck the stump and do that kind of stuff. And then, you know, at the end, after, what other ideas did we have? Take a spade shovel to the small of her back and fuck that, and just all these kinds of different things.
What's wrong with you guys?
And just completely freak her out that she's going to get killed.
So you guys are just sitting there arguing back and forth over how you're going to do it.
Yeah, but the best part, I come out, I'm wearing like the, you know, like the butcher suit.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all quietly and calmly walk up to Dubs and just say, "So, how do you want to do this?"
And then I start tacking up, plastic sheeting.
Like Dexter?
Or like when nuclear fallout happens and you have to, cover the windows and the walls and everything so, you know, nothing gets into the house.
And
do that kind of thing.
And so, now how
the
does
Tom Ridgeway.
So how does this fantasy end? Like what?
The fantasy ends by just saying, "Hey, I'm joshing you. Just joshing with you." And then untie her and go play mini golf.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. If I knew I wouldn't go to jail for it, I would do that sometimes.
You would kidnap someone and make them think that you're going to cut
them
up and fuck
them. Not kidnap them, because they're all into it before, you know, BJ walks out of the thing. We start arguing how we're going to kill her.
Yeah, but you're like, "Hey, I want to cut her foot off." And Dubs will be like, "No, you did that last time. You're not doing it again this time." I'm like, "Come on, I just want to cut her foot off." and bore a hole out of it and just have sex with Trump.
He's
like, come on, that's boring. You know, we're just arguing, but we're being calm and, like, cool about it.
Yeah.
It's just they're all frightened.
It's like arguing about where we're going to eat, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it's about how we're going to, what extremities we're going to cut off and that kind of thing.
So, now, did you tell BJ about what happened? Because you had told me this, and after you had the conversation, you told me this, Dubs. What happened to you in the elevator here at the radio station?
No. I totally forgot about that. Oh, okay. This woman thought I was going to rape her. And let me get into the whole story real quick here. Where we do our show and work here in Tampa, we do a building that's about 10 floors high. We're up on the top floor. This was about 5 p.m. There's five elevators that work, and the one in the middle there, you can go down and hit the close button every time it stops on a floor, and it'll skip that floor. So I'm in that one with a woman who just won a prize at the radio station.
Right, from an AM radio station.
Yeah. And the door closes. I can tell she's a little nervous because it's just me and her in the elevator.
And you look, I mean, for people that don't know, Dubs looks very like the kind of guy that would rape you.
I do not. I look very kind.
Okay, I'm wrong. The kind of guy that would rape your child.
Okay.
So that's more of what he looks like.
And so the door closes. We hit the ninth floor. It's 5 p.m. Everybody's getting out of work. So it usually stops on every floor at that point. So I'm in the middle elevator. I start hitting the close button to skip that floor. And she looks at me and goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And she starts crying.
Right.
She tears actually come out of her. I'm like, we're in the middle elevator. It's 5 o'clock. This is the only way we're going to get downstairs quickly is if I skip the floors. And she immediately calms down a little bit. But she honestly thought that I was trying to lock the door closed so I could have my way with her. And, so.
Was she attractive at least?
She was pretty hot. She was a ginger. Pretty cute. So she thought I was gonna rape, murder, or dismember her in some kind of way. We got down to the bottom floor, and I'm laughing because there's nothing else I could do at that point. I'm like,
And the irony of what you had just talked about, what you wanted to do earlier, and BJ.
That was right after I wrote my Yardstick of Death blog about it.
Right.
And I get down on the bottom floor, I'd say, you're free. And let her out. And,
nice.
Yeah, it was kind of hot, the fear in her eyes.
Was it?
Yeah, it was kind of cute. I liked it.
You should have said, hey, this is going to go a lot easier for you if you shut your yapper.
Stop flapping your gums over there and let's get this done.
Well, anything else going on in your world, BJ?
No, same old, boring, same old.
You got a job yet?
Yeah, I've had a job for a while.
What are you doing?
I work for a satellite company.
Really? The new, XM Sirius XM?
Like DirecTV and Dish Network.
Oh, okay. That pays a lot, huh?
Pays what I have to pay.
What do you have to pay?
Yeah, what are your expenses living with your mom and all?
Cupcakes.
Well, I split everything down the middle, so I pay half my rent and half utilities, and I'm finishing off paying off my court fees.
You're a chubby guy. How much do you spend on baby powder?
I actually haven't bought baby powder in a while, but I was thinking about buying a pair of spandex if I don't get Cedar Point rash.
Cedar Point rash is whenever you're walking around like a theme park all day and you get that rash in your legs when you're all fat and everything.
Mm-hmm, from the rubbing together.
Yeah.
All right, BJ. Well, it's good talking to you.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Beat it.
5,000.
5,000. There he is, Bike Curious BJ. All the shit you ever get into is with that clown.
He is. He's just trouble.
How old is he?
He is 27.
27-year-old failure.
Mm-hmm.
How many 27-year-old failures, first of all, are in this room?
I'm one.
Yeah, as I look at the Satchel Patch and as I look at Dubs. How old are you now, Dubs?
27.
Why are you? Mm-hmm. Jesus. It's at 27, you either know you're going to make it or you aren't. After getting off the phone with that motherfucker, I know.
I knew he wasn't going to make it from right after high school.
Yeah, I know that there's no hope for him. It ain't happening. He's not going anywhere. Why even waste the time? Yet he is going to be around at least another 27 years. That's usually the way it goes.
I don't know. Not with his lifestyle.
No, this is the kind of guy that lives forever.
We should call him back because I want to get some of his sex stories, too. And you'll agree that...
All right, get him back on the phone.
It is the Hideout here. We are on XM202. That is Dubs. That's the Satchel Patch. I am El Jefe. What about for you? Like, you're now 27, Satchel Patch. Yeah. Do you feel you were still going to make it in life?
The window's closing. I have a
It's true!
Yeah, I've wasted... I guess I've... You know, maybe not. I've wasted pretty much my life since I was 16. 16 to about 25. So about a good 9 years of my life just right down the tubes. Mm-hmm. Drugs, alcohol, whatever. Just gone. Not able to get back, so... I guess really cranking it. I've been cranking it for about 2 years now, maybe 3 years. So I got it. I'm working on my last shot.
Would you agree though that by the age of 27, you got a pretty fucking good idea if you're gonna be worth a damn or not?
Yeah, I'd say.
See,
so.
I knew at 27 I was gonna be worth a damn because we were doing late nights in D.C. and I'm like, I've gotten this far, I can continue to get further. But for you two fucking losers right now,
man,
where we are.
I was 24 when I was doing the same thing you
were
doing.
Yeah, but now at 27, you're already on your downslide.
No, I'm not.
You peaked. Just a little bit later than high school, but you still peaked early. I'm still on my way up.
BJ, how long do you think you're going to live?
How long am I going to live? Never hope to make it past 60.
And what do you think you'll make of your life? Like, how are you going to leave your mark on this world? What do you want to do? What's your dream?
Wow. You know, to be honest with you, I don't
you
can really
be a
care about...
You
gotta, I don't care about leaving a mark. Why would I want to leave a mark?
You can leave your mark on truckers. It sounds like you got to already have a little experience becoming a lot lizard.
You could have left your mark on those jeans of that guy who picked you up.
You don't want to leave you don't want to be remembered, BJ?
I mean, not really.
Do you want to be remembered as that guy that went to go date a chick and then met her at the bar, hung out with her for a whole night, then ends up going over to her house and then realizes that she was in a wheelchair? After hanging out with her previously for an entire night, then you didn't even realize till the next time you went over to fuck her. Do you want to be remembered as that guy that just kept having sex with, like, mole girls? You know what I mean? Like, is that the way you want to be remembered?
I mean, if that's the way people want to remember me, I guess that's, you know.
But you don't even want to have a credit score or anything like that? You don't want to live on your own? You don't want to have rental history?
Right.
Nothing? Nothing?
I think he could live forever on bathroom walls and truck stops.
That's the way he lives. Hey, BJ, I'm always fascinated by this. Who are you voting for?
If I had to vote right now, I guess I would vote for... Oh, geez, you put me on the spot.
do you want us to go around the room real quick and say who we're voting for?
Okay.
I'm voting for McCain. Hefe? Or Flip?
I'm going McCain.
I'm leaning Obama, but I haven't decided.
I've been leaning towards Obama the whole way, but now that we're getting further along in it, I'm leaning towards McCain.
What turned you?
He found out he was black.
No, I was I think I had this conversation with Dubs the other night. I just said, these Democrats, man, they nickel and dime you with their policies. I'm serious.
This is the motherfucker. You don't even have a nickel and a dime, so what do you give a shit?
I'm not talking about, that was an analogy. I wasn't actually talking about money. I'm talking about, They always put these worthless bills in, like seatbelt laws and helmet laws, and just, I mean, they're always just nickeling and diming with stupid laws, but they build up after a long time, and it's ridiculous.
Now, your big expenditure that you've had in your life is your DUI, or whatever it was. How much did that run you?
It came in at probably around $1,600, $1,700.
$1,600, $1,700, and how many days in jail?
Two and a half.
Have you paid off that $1,600, $1,700 yet?
Almost. I'm making payments on it.
See, that's the thing. It's always the guys that, man, they're going to tax me. They're going to tax me, man. But you motherfuckers don't have any money to be taxed. You will benefit. You will benefit by this so-called socialism that's going to be put out there.
It has nothing to do with finance, with taxes at all. I never once brought up taxes.
You just said nickel and dime you.
Yeah, but it's just the way I worded it. Sorry.
Jesus.
It's just all these stupid, you know, like you'll get like Hannah's Law and Christie's Law and just all these stupid, you know, I can't stand it.
Right.
And Jessica's Law is just waiting to bite you in the ass, isn't it?
That's so true. So, just really quickly, BJ, before we let you go, because I think you would almost want to make this decision based on this, and that's the fact of who is it that would limit your sexual freedoms. Because as it relates to you and sexual freedoms, that's kind of a big deal, right?
I don't think so. But
what's your latest conquest?
My latest conquest, I struck out as a creepy guy, so.
What do you mean?
The guy wanted him to blow him, but what was the one before that? When was the last time you had sex?
Last time, I don't know, months ago.
And?
Just over to buddies, random girl. Haven't talked to her since.
Where'd you meet her?
Just at a guy's house.
At a guy's house.
If you had to name her, what would you name her? Just something right off the top of your head, like Professor Mug, Old Lead Balls. Just give me
some kind
name.
Of nickname for her.
The Penguin.
There we go. That'll work. Penguin.
Now, is that more of the Penguin based on Danny DeVito or Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's going to be playing it?
It has to be more Danny DeVito.
I have a very good. I bet she had purple lipstick, lots of dark eyeshadow.
Is she goth?
The Mr. Peanut eyeglass and umbrella.
Well, I can send you a link to her MySpace page.
Fuck please, yeah, you're gonna hurry up.
Now, also, you've been working a chick. You had two chicks coming over. She called out on you. She said she wasn't gonna come over. Why did she cancel out on you at first?
Because her kid got bit by a dog.
And
what a selfish bitch.
And then
I called her out on it.
And you ran a guilt trip on her?
Oh yeah, I was like, come on, you know, I mean. You freaking make other arrangements for her. She's fine. She's got bit by a dog.
Did you hear about Dubs and his encounter with a dog?
No.
I just I went to the ER because I was fucked up by a dog.
Shut up.
I swear to God, I have stitches in my leg and hand.
He almost lost his pinky.
You got mauled by a dog?
Well, my dog and my roommate's dog got into a fight yesterday, and I tried to break it up. And when I tried to break it up, I put my hand in there. And my finger got bit really bad.
The way he decided to break up the dog fight was to use his pinky as Alpo as a treat. Here, treat, stop. Have my
and
pinky.
That didn't stop them, so blood shot up and hit the ceiling and went all over the walls right in our walk-in area. And I'm holding my hand, and I try to kick them out of the way with my leg, and then they bite my ankle. So I have, a few flesh wounds on my ankle that, right above my ankle on my calf, that go about 2 inches deep.
Yeah, you can see muscle.
Yep, and then my finger one's about a quarter of an inch deep.
So what did your roommate have to say about this?
They rushed me
to... I don't have rent. That's what she says, the fucking cunt.
They rushed me to the ER, and the ER couldn't get me in time to be able to be back and do the hideout, so I ended up going to a walk-in clinic. They said... it's way too bad. You gotta go back to the ER. So I came up here and did the show without going to the doctors or stitches, and then I left the show and came right
sucked.
Up here.
Yeah, because he sucked. All right, BJ. All right, well, it's good talking to you.
I'm just about to have Dubs check his MySpace. I'm just about to send him a link.
Oh,
I'm on there right now. Send it over.
The link for the Penguin?
Yeah, but I'm gonna send it to his mail.
All right, well, send it to his mail. Do
all right,
that.
Yeah, send it over, and when we get back from the break, I'll check it out.
All right, sounds good.
All right, BJ, beat it.
5,000.
Yeah, 5,000. By the way, there's BJ. Bicurious BJ. Dubs' his best friend. So what we learned out of all this is you guys are fucking losers. What am I doing here? Jesus Christ. Between the three of you, BJ. Do you ever think like you would have ended up more like him had you not gotten into radio?
Oh, without a doubt.
Like radio but somehow saved you from that?
But I would have been working, you know, the whole time. That kid rarely holds a job.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would... be something more, but it wouldn't. You
what
know.
Would you be if you were not on the radio?
I'd probably be a day worker.
You think so?
Probably.
And
something
just,
like that.
Just kind of day
mowing lawns.
Right. What would you be, Satchel Paz?
That's what I do during the day when I'm not doing radios, cut grass.
And that's it?
Yeah.
That's all you motherfuckers would aspire to be?
Not really. I would want to do more. I had dreams and aspirations at one point. I wanted to go into the military and fly helicopters.
Why didn't you?
I started.
Was that your dream in high school?
No, I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to fly. I was working at a steel fabricating plant, and I wanted to get... my father was a pilot at one point, and I wanted to do something flying. You know, I said, I could fly helicopters, and then I could get into steel erection, you know, and with high-rise buildings and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm going along, going through the process of flight school and all the physicals and things of that nature, this radio thing came along. I got a job in radio for doing just some... whacked out, you know, stupid ass stuff. And excuse me, shit. So I got it. I told my recruiters and everybody, I said, hold on, let me try this radio thing out.
I would love to go serve the country, but America needs me more in an American flag Speedo handing out gay porn.
Well, actually, I have a similar story in high school. I almost joined the Marines, but then I'm like, well, let me try radio first.
With all the
what a commercial.
What you go through and the interviews and the background checks and all that stuff, they were finding public intoxes from when I was 14 years old or just an MIP. So anything like that, I was in front of this flight school review board with, you know, five or six officers, and they're grilling me, and I was like, listen, I was a 14-year-old idiot. I had some liquor. I apologize. I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. And then after the couple of felonies for distributing gay porn, you know, all those hopes kind of just popped, the bubble was burst, and no longer a shot at that.
So you guys were kind of two of the guys that would have gone into the military had radio not come along.
And screwed our lives completely.
So, yeah. So let me ask you this, because I know a lot of times, like, you can never talk bad about the troops, and nor really should you. However,
I was a troop, you'd probably talk bad about me.
However, isn't it kind of understood that a lot of the guys, now, not all of them, but a lot of the guys who end up going into the military or end up going on to be cops, they were kind of those guys in high school that were just like you? Because one of my very best friends in high school, I don't want to say his name, I'll just call him Dylan, all right? He went into the Marines, too. Got his ass kicked the fuck out because he was a fuck-up just as much as you two, and he was going to go into the Marines to try to get his shit straight, and they couldn't even straighten him out.
See, I would have been one of the butt pyramid guys. I would have been...
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah, I probably would have been kicked out as well.
But see, that's why I never give, like, the troops or anything any shit about that. You know what I mean?
A puss, or because you just couldn't handle the authority?
No, because I would have done some stupid, like, the Abu Ghraib thing. I would have.
Yeah.
We played a game called Hideout or Abu Ghraib, didn't it? It was something along those lines. And it was whether or not we had made something that we'd made an intern do, or something that they had done in Guantanamo and or Abu Ghraib. And, dude, you would never know. And so we came to that realization that, fuck, why are we giving these guys shit over there? Because we would have done that.
Well, that's the thing. All the politics and stuff that gets involved with the military, it demeans, it doesn't let them have a personality of themselves because they're still a bunch of kids. Kids will be kids. And a part of it is putting a bar of soap in a socket and beating the shit out of somebody.
But that's the whole thing, though. Like, isn't that what the military is all about? Like, trying to strip you of your individuality so it's more about the collective?
Yeah.
And so it's, some guys just can't be stripped of that.
Yeah.
Some guys cannot be told, look, you cannot get men from foreign countries nude and stack them on top of each other and take photos next to them.
But it's so fun.
Well, it can be. But the military's just not for you. Yeah, I never once thought about the military. I mean, when I was a little kid, I wanted to fly airplanes, but never anything beyond that.
I always wanted to get into advertising for some reason, too.
You're in radio.
I know.
You can go across the building. You can go to the other side of the building, and congratulations, you'll be in advertising.
Not that kind of advertising.
What do you mean?
Like individual consultants where they bring them in and say, oh, man, we really need this Dubs guy to make sure our product gets out there and known.
All right, no one has ever said we really need this Dubs guy.
I know.
Guarantee that. I know that for a fact, being your radio partner of all these years. All right, let's take a break, come back. We got a lot of shit we want to do. We can do a couple of things that we've been usually doing when we do Saturday nights in WJFK, something we call Bedtime Thoughts. There's also Dumb Jam Poetry and a little bit of other stuff. Again, it is the Hideout, hideoutradio.com, as we are on XM202. Thank you to Ron and Fez and ONA for letting this happen. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned to the Hideout.
The Hideout. Hideout. Answering the big questions. World hunger. Terrorism. And the biggest question.
Do you take it in the ass? Do you take it in the ass? Take it in the ass.
The Hideout.
XM202. The Virus.
The Hideout.
Here's a confession. I'm in love with a man. What? I'm in love with a man. A man called God. Does that make me gay? Am I gay for God? You betcha.
You're in the Hideout. Learn more at hideoutradio.com. The Hideout.
Back in the Hideout on a Saturday. I am El Jefe. That is J-Dubs. The Satchel Patch, our newest buddy, is here with us on... Is it already Sirius XM 202? Or just, we'll just call it 202.
Yeah, the virus.
The virus. Here. Here we are with you. Good to talk to you. Gonna roll. Still rolling strong. If you want to learn more about us, Hideout Radio is pretty much just kind of a roadmap. Takes you to all the stuff that we do, including Saturday nights in D.C.
There's plenty of videos out there of stuff we've done in the past. You can check all our stuff out. There's just a lot of content to keep you entertained for as long as we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I'll think of all the message boards. There are links to those as well. Just got done talking to your cousin, Bike Here's BJ, who's just a fucking loser. And overall, the question of at 27, I just wonder, like, if I had a kid and I look and I see who they are at 27 and they're just not going anywhere, would you stop and think again about, man, if I had to do it over, I would have aborted. You know? Like, sometimes, you know, we talked about this earlier, like, if your parents, everything knowing where it's been, would they have aborted you? And I don't think that mine would have because everything turned out okay. But I know, I'm sure there are times, maybe even at the age of 27, where they might have said, yeah, this is a, let's dump out of the last 27 years and say no thank you to the kid.
Personally, for me, I don't think I would have ever been aborted. I know for sure my sister wouldn't have, but my little brother, maybe. You know, and he wasn't even the worst one, the bad part about it. I was the worst. It's just, I taught him everything he knows, but he got caught. He wasn't slick. He got caught at it. And just getting in trouble all the time, I think they would have cut it.
Right. What about you?
I don't think that my mom would abort me at this point, because she has way too many problems with my sister.
It'd be too expensive.
How big of a fuck up she is.
As you know, far that's as... a good question. If your parents, they had to choose which one of you lives.
It would be between me and my little brother. I think she might pick my little brother overall.
To be aborted?
No, to live.
He's a screw-up, too!
Yeah, but she loves that kid.
Well, to go even further, maybe your mom should have been aborted. You know, to
she's 0 for 3.
To save us from what she's created.
That is true, man. She really did just kind of...
Shit the bed?
Yeah, she shit the bed 3 times and then just didn't even clean up the bed and throw it out. She just kept the bed.
What a way to leave your mark on the society.
Right.
These 3.
I know. Sorry, Dubs. We didn't mean to gang up on you there.
I don't know why Satchel is piling on.
Yeah.
I mean, out of every one of us in here, he'd probably be the first one to go.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. Now, that's an interesting thing, too. You think about if the listeners were and they had that hanger and they look at the 3 of us.
No, don't start that internet poll.
Manual? Yeah, because I think I'd probably go. Even though I'm the ringleader and obviously the most talented, for whatever reason, I end up being the most hated. Dubs, let's do some bedtime thoughts.
All right, bedtime thoughts are a very, very simple thing. And I came up with this way back, probably 3 or 4 years ago. I lay in my bed with a pad of paper next to it. And a lot of times I'll write down ideas for the shows. But a lot of them aren't really good ideas because I'm half asleep, and I think they're great because I'm half asleep. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just random thoughts. So I started a segment called Bedtime Thoughts where we share some of these random thoughts with you, and most of them are in question form, so we're able to kind of debate it and talk about it.
All right, so do you want to go first?
I can go first if you want to.
Right, yeah, it's your thing, so let's have Dubs start this off for us.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
When you don't shower for a few days and you sweat a lot,
ooh,
what does that film on your cock and balls consist of? Because it's not just dirt.
Butter.
It's kind of a buttery spread. What is that made of?
All right. That's a great question, man.
Because it's gray?
Do you still have that?
Every once in a while. Like a...
Schmegma?
Yeah, schmegma. that just film on your genitalia?
I had it a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Like, I loved
it. Oh, it smells so good to you.
Yeah,
but,
like, you roll it up and you play with it.
Yeah.
Almost like, you know, when,
silly
you,
putty art,
when you would pour Elmer's glue onto your hand and then you kind of roll it up and play with it and knead it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When I don't need it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then never mind. But, yeah, I would just think it's dead skin.
You think so? I mean, it's very odd.
Like, lint?
Consistency and everything.
And like sweat.
A duck butter or a taint butter.
Yeah.
It is a thick spread type of just goo, slop.
I'm sure there's shit in there too.
Yeah.
Because it's
right
there.
On your cock?
Well, I'm,
no,
I like,
under the balls.
Yeah, under the balls.
Under
that area.
The balls.
But I'm talking, you never had that like around the head.
Yeah, I've had it everywhere. But
it's a film. It grows. It's a growing film that covers your genitals.
I think it would just be skin, mixture of skin, sweat, and lint.
Scrotum sweat is a big, you know, ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
My scrotum doesn't sweat.
Mine does.
I mean, sweat kind of gets trapped in it.
Sometimes my scrotum will get to itch, and I'll go grab it and stretch it and pull a little bit.
Oh,
and just wet. It's wet like a vag. Sopping wet.
All right, so I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. I have my hypotheses, but I don't really know.
We need to get like some of our ball mixture sent to a lab and say, what's in this?
Test it.
Yeah. All right, let's. All right, that kind of leads me into mine. Oh, you got yours? This kind of leads me into mine.
And now the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
Is there at least one woman in my neighborhood who could hide a joint in one of her vagina folds? There are a lot of fat bitches in my neighborhood. And as I look at them, I genuinely wonder...
If they're hiding drugs in their vagina folds?
If they could.
Beefy grommets.
Like, if you could have... You know, because sometimes, you know, you see a disgusting one, you know? Mm. And they open up like flowers. But like, if this is like a Venus flytrap, and there's just so much that could be down there that could end up being hidden.
Like, if we get talking about our duck butter and our taint spread, what, you know, some of the stuff that comes out of their guts, you know, if you will.
So I don't, I mean,
Now I know when I was really, really fat, my fattest days, I could like hide a pencil and carry it around underneath my, like, my stomach flap. And it wouldn't fall out. I could just walk around with it like that.
You know, like when they, you know, you see some of these women with the, almost a front butt, like, what do you have tucked in there? And how do they wash that? And the fat and the flabby skin that,
like,
you could pick up and what's underneath it?
Do they spend the time? And then again, specifically with the vagina.
Yeah.
And could they, like, just pull apart?
Because it's so meaty.
Some of the labia and tuck a joint up in there, and then it's just there.
Extremely meaty toe.
By the way, they're in Australia. They're warning. They're like, hey, listen, be careful of this. These designer vaginas, they're not necessarily a good thing.
Designer vaginas.
You know, the vaginoplasty.
Ah.
You know what I mean? Where they try to make it all pretty again.
Mm-hmm.
Rejuvenation, revirgination, G-spot amplification. This is really taking hold down in Australia, and they're beginning to say, hey, this isn't necessarily a good idea. It wasn't meant
to
be like this.
Anytime you start taking a scalpel and cutting up your vagina, I don't think it could be really construed as a good thing.
Isn't that how it got there in the first place, with a big axe?
Yeah.
A giant hatchet?
God just hit you with a hatchet right in between your legs.
All right, here we go, Satchel Patch. It's your turn.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
Sometimes I wonder, if I was a divorce lawyer...
Mm-hmm.
I would work for the men, and I would think what my opening statement would be to really move the judge. And I think it would go something like this. Your Honor, this woman here is a whore. I intend to prove that she's been doing meth and sucking dicks. And then, you know, lay out my statement, because you see a lot of these women that when they get divorced, the men are the ones that get taken through the ringer. They're the ones that give up everything they own.
Yeah.
And a lot of times in a divorce, the guy is really down in the dumps. He's working extra jobs, trying to get his life back together, while the woman just goes wild. She goes out and starts doing drugs. Mm-hmm. She's a whore. She's out every night with new guys doing meth and sucking a bunch of dicks.
And getting fisted.
And then the judge is off giving everything that this hardworking man has to this skank of a woman. So if you're a good lawyer, you should be able to enter that into your case. It's your honor. You must understand this woman is a whore. And I intend to prove that she's been doing meth and sucking dicks. And, you know, for a lot of men out there, let them be able to keep their furniture in their home and kick this bitch to the curb and let her go to the streets and earn her money like she has been.
It is funny that you can't be a little bit more real, you know what I mean, and really talk in a serious, even though that could genuinely be the truth, you know, she's smoking meth and she's sucking dicks, you still couldn't say that.
No, you...
Why not?
You got to keep it clean. For some reason, it just doesn't play well in court.
But
it should.
That's bold, that's to the point, and you're telling, you know, Your Honor, this woman is right here as a whore. And I'm going to prove it. Not only am I going to prove it, I'm going to show you who she's been doing meth with, and I'm going to show you whose dick she's been sucking. And after this is done, you won't want to take the furniture from my client here. You won't want to take the house from my client. You won't want to give her so much money of his that he works for and goes and earns and gives to her just so she can go do meth and suck dick.
All right. Dubs, you ready?
Yeah, now this one kind of leads into my bedtime thought.
All right, here we go.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
With the whole sucking dick and doing meth theme we got going here, if you ran for office, what would be the one thing that you are afraid is going to come out about your personal life? What could they dig deep on and figure out about you? Is it sucking dick and doing meth? Or is it something else?
Huh. Fuck, man, I got so many skeletons in my closet, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I've talked about on the air.
Yeah.
But then there's so much. I think the fact that I was molested by a fat chick and I've talked about it so openly, I think that would get used against me. You know what I mean? Then the fact that I used to cheat on my first wife all the time, that probably would be that would probably be the biggest one.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually done meth before, so I was kind of worried about that, but it was like only once. It was a one-time deal try because we couldn't find any good blow. But, you know, I did meth once, but I did mushrooms for months. I was, you know, just an addict for a good 2 or 3 years of my life, but I never did any heroin, crack, and that's about it that I have to hang my hat on.
Yeah, for me, I think it was while I was married at the New Year's Eve, a couple of fat chicks blew me. And it sucked.
Mine would probably be my internet history links, where they'd go through there and they would see scat porn. Because I'm seriously worried about the amount of shit I go through, like not literal shit, but on the internet, because it's all getting old to me.
Yeah.
So I find new disgusting things to jerk off to.
What is? That's fun to go through the gamut of everything on the internet. Yeah. And, you know.
I do it almost as a game now of like, I wonder if I can jerk off to pissing porn.
No, that's easy. That's what's easier for you? What you know, POME.com, I like that. The scat, I can deal with that. What would your favorite odd thing to be?
See, I can't get into any of that. It's got to be normal. If any of that shit starts working its way in, I'm not down.
No, I'm not into bestiality or anything like that. But one time I watched a horse just blow his load all over a woman, and I think I yanked to that for like a week.
Stop it.
Yeah, I've watched animal porn before and done that. Yeah.
You just say it like it's normal.
I'm telling you, I try to find the most depraved shit to watch.
Why do you think that is? Hold on a second. But you ain't had a bitch in a long time, man.
Yeah.
Do you think now...
Not that long. It's been like a month and a half.
Yeah, but like a real kind of relationship thing. Do you fear that you've gone too far down the rabbithole.com literally?
It might be that. I mean, I don't know if I can... If I do find...
I worry for that dog of yours, too. There's some shit going on.
No,
there.
No. I would never... touch her in an inappropriate way. I mean, we do spoon at night.
Dubs, but don't worry. I was there. You know, I was out of a relationship for, you know, almost a year or something like that. And I'm sitting there watching a horse blow his load on a woman yanking, seeing if I can get my computer screen pregnant. But I was into the whole scat and, you know, just find the most depraved midgets The midget thing was the hardest thing for me to
no,
do.
No, I actually really like the midget porn.
Really?
Because yeah. You're a closet pedophile.
No, I'm not.
Yes. Yes, because that's the closest thing you can get to.
No, it isn't. I mean, these people have, like, grown-up faces and everything.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's just smaller in stature.
I was kind of worried that I was getting to the point that, of no return to where if I ever got with another girl, then I'm going to be trying to doo-doo on her or, you know.
Have you?
No, that's the thing. I haven't even tried to stick it in her ass yet, so I'm pretty good, you know. And we've been together 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So once I started to get the poontang.
She's Cuban, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she loves it.
Yeah.
Once I started,
she's done it with all her other boyfriends.
You're going to find other rings up there.
Once I started getting a poontang.
And a
again,
raft.
Then I never really got back into the, I haven't been back on the horse.
A 1950s car.
Pulling his load on her face. Impala, Chevy style, with wings.
It is the hideout. We're doing bedtime thoughts. All right, then. I got one then, since we're talking about jerking it.
Okay.
And now, the hideout bedtime thoughts.
Is it gay?
Yes.
If you look down at yourself while jacking off.
No.
Instead of the computer screen that has the porn on it. So you're there, you're rubbing yourself, and you're looking down at you, admiring what's happening.
It's gay if you try to catch it in your mouth.
No, it's gay if you catch it in your belly button and rub it all over you. That's gay.
Alright, so then I'm not gay. Cool.
It gets into my belly and then I paint a crescent moon and stars like I'm Kamala and walk around with a big cum tummy.
What do you do? You put it on a towel or you just plaster your belly?
Actually, I used to plaster my belly. Here's something embarrassing from the first few times I used to jerk off. I thought it was like sneezing on yourself. I didn't think you needed to really wipe it off or anything.
Oh, no.
So I would go to school the next day. With loads on my stomach and my shirt sticking to my...
Your skin all wrinkled up like a broom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It looked like, you know, like Elmer's glue just poured all over my stomach.
Oh, jeez.
Dried up.
Yeah, well, see, here's what happened. I've lost a lot of weight since the last time we've been on 202. Just about 40 pounds I've lost now.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there jerking it,
mm-hmm.
and I look down and I'm like... hot. Like, I've lost my gut. Like, it's kind of, I mean, I'm furry. I'm really, really furry. But I was looking down, and I'm like, holy cow, man. I'm not as disgusting as I used to be.
Now, one thing, I was listening to Dr. Steve's Weird Medicine last week on XM202. And he brought up a study of for every 35 pounds you lose, you get another inch on your dick.
Dude, I've gotten at least that, if not more. That Dr. Steve's a genius. Because I have. And actually, his math is a little wrong, because I've gotten at least an inch and a half. Maybe two.
Well, you've gotten more than 35 pounds.
Yeah. So. It's great, though, man. It really is. Like, it's real. And even looking down, because I was looking at myself, then looking at the guy in the porn, and I'm like, fuck, I might be able to do this. I might have an alternative career at some point. All right, let's...
You already have an alternative lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Why not a career?
Why not put it on film? All right, let's go over to the Satchel Patch now with... His thing.
And now, the hideout bedtime thoughts.
Why are women so afraid to show their toe, their camel toe? They show cleavage, they wear push-up bras to enhance their tits. Why don't more girls have the confidence to give themselves a nice little front tug? You know, wedgie on a smaller scale, a tiny little front butt. Why do they emphasize the boobs? Why not show their print?
I know the answer to this. Because it's good to have big boobs. It's not good to have a big pussy. You don't want to meet a girl with a big pussy.
Why?
You know, guys can walk around and say, hey, I got a big cock, and everybody likes it. If you talk about having a big pussy, guys are like, yeah, too much work.
Well,
I'm out of here.
The lobes. Like a nice left lobe, a well-defined print. Just like a slice
a big
of
dinner
pie.
Roll?
Yeah, a slice of pie on both sides with a little fabric in between. Show me what you're working with down there. You know,
I don't want to see what they're working with down there.
Something to touch, something to feel. Golden arches I can see. And be like, that looks like a nice little print she has there. To go along with her nice rack.
Why don't you give yourself a camel toe?
I do, man toe.
Do you?
Give yourself a nice wedgie. I mean, I've done it before. You wear tight pants, play with your junk, hang your log.
Give yourself one right now.
Okay. You hang your log on one side and your junk on the other, and you just pull your pants tight.
He's such an ass. You're so gay. And I don't know if he's gay or the two of us are gay for looking at
him. Look at my man.
You gotta look at that.
It's so stupid.
Look at my manta.
I see it already.
Take a good look.
Drop your drawer. At least
look again,
down
Dub.
The north. Look at Dub's salivating over there. Dub's, you ready to go next?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's another one for you.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Fox.
This one's a little more tame. How do you win at tag? I don't know. These kids play this game you can't win at, and we played it. I mean, we played TV Tag. There's so many incarnations of that game that you don't win at.
Well, if you're the gay kid, I guess you don't win. Everybody just comes up and punches the shit out of you, right?
Not fag tag.
Oh, no, smear the queer.
Oh. I don't know. It's a good. I think you just, there is no winner. There's never a winner. It's just when you get tired, right?
Yeah, it sucks.
But think about how that is, like, kind of just with everything, you know? Anything that isn't an actual sport, like hockey. You know, it's like, when do you really have a winner? You know what I mean? I don't know.
I don't know who would come up with a game and play it and capture the flag, all that kind of stuff. You have winners.
Right.
Tag. Just tag.
What is the purpose of it? I guess it's just to burn off energy, right?
I guess, but, I mean, how does it catch on if no one wins?
Because it's fun to run around, man. What about hide and seek? I mean, there's a winner there, right?
Yeah, it's whoever's left last, whoever hid the best.
Duck, duck, goose?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. Satchel Patch, any theories?
It's just whoever's the fastest does not lose. You know, the one person, the slow fat kid, usually is the loser who can't touch anybody.
Yeah, but how do you end the game?
When the fat kid gets tired and everybody's bored, you're sweating, everybody's red-faced, fat kid's over there throwing up, laying in the grass, everybody gets itchy, mom starts calling you for dinner. Macaroni and cheese. It's time for shells and cheese.
You think about it, too, how dumb little kids are. Like, could you imagine if you got together a group of grown people and said, hey, I know what I want to do. Let's play some tag.
We should open a tag league.
Yeah, just like kickball and shit.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
Doo-doo. I'm fascinated by doo-doo. I think it's the addition of two verbs, do and do. Why is this such a funny word? And why is doo-dooing so embarrassing? Eve, that silly slut, she bit the fruit, which made us understand that doo-dooing in public is wrong. We're not like dogs. We can't go doo-doo in the yard.
What?
It's like sometimes when you see a dog doo-doo, and the dog's staring back at you, and he's just hunkered down there in the yard. Why can't I do that? Why is that not acceptable? It's because Eve ate the fruit.
No, it's not.
Yes. Eve ate the fruit off the tree. Then she went and put clothes on. She knew she was naked, and therefore we can't doo-doo in public like dogs.
Well, I want to debate if do is a word, is a verb.
Fuck if I know.
Do is a verb, and do is a verb. And you get them together, and you have a noun, doo-doo.
All right, so hold on a second now. So your big thing, and I've actually kind of agreed with him, I always thought it was absurd that you could go into a bathroom and someone would fart and people would giggle. Because that's what the fuck the bathroom's for, you know what I mean? And then at the same time, too, whenever you go into like a public restroom and you poop,
public dumps are the worst.
I love them.
Are you kidding me?
I love to public dump.
I like to dump in peace. I like to have nobody in my surroundings. I like to sit down, drop a load, in peace. A nice dump in peace. But then if you're sitting there trying to hunker down and grow your tail and somebody walks into the stall next to you and absolutely starts blowing it up, just, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start, that's embarrassing. I don't want to sit there and inhale air fresh out of his ass. He's sitting there dropping his load and I'm going to have to sit there and sniff it up. It's foul.
And let's go on a little bit further than that.
By the way, it is a verb.
Is it?
Do is a verb. It can also be a noun, but do in the original form is a verb.
So do plus do equals doo-doo, and doo-doo is a noun.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Or you can do verb.
All right. Also,
I'm going to doo-doo.
With the dog thing and not being able to shit like a dog does. What if you could take anything from the dog lifestyle or the dog ability? What would you take?
What?
Would it be the teeth? The nice fang teeth? Would it be the tail? Me? It'd be the lack of butt cheeks. I love how dogs and animals don't have butt cheeks. They don't have to wipe.
You're there already, white man.
I have cheeks. I just don't have, you know, I don't have an ass.
So you would just want it to be where you just got this
just
fucking,
that hole.
This brown, this,
yeah,
this
showing
brown
it off
eye.
To everybody. Showing it off to everybody.
Well, not even showing it off to everyone. Just so I can squat, poop, walk away without even wiping.
Well, see, you can do that. I've done it before. In the lake, you can. If you go swimming in a lake,
then you're in the water though. I want to be able to shit on the grass.
You can shit like a fish. We would be out on a boat as a kid. You go out on a boat in the middle of the lake, and you're out there for 4 or 5 hours. You take your food, some drinks, maybe some beer, or whatever. And if you got a dump, you jump out in the lake, and that's kind of almost like a dog would when you're swimming. Your head and waist is above water, and you're sitting there swimming away from your dump. When you got about 10 people in the boat sitting there watching you take a dump.
Oh, I hate you. Both.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
Speaking of dogs, why is it okay for your dog to touch your cock with his nose?
It's not.
But not his tongue. Like, why is it okay for it to happen on one hand when his mouth is closed and it's just his nose rubbing up against it?
It's not.
And then on the other hand, if it's his tongue, it's like, oh, you're committing a crime. Like, I don't get why there's this distinction between the two of these.
I don't think any of his body parts should be touching your bear cock. Why are you slapping your bear cock against his nose?
I was just wondering. I mean, I would never do that. It's never happened after I get out of the shower, but...
Why are you letting your dog watch you shower?
And why would your dog be touching your balls after the shower? Why wouldn't it be before?
Does the dog know you're naked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's there. I mean, obviously, because that's the only time he touched... Okay, never mind. Let's move on.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
I think I've discovered a flawless way to rate women.
Rate or rape?
Rate. Rate.
Okay.
Thank you. Rate women. Like you're walking down the street, and you think, she's a 10.
Mm-hmm.
But in all actuality, she's probably a 6 or a 7. So, me and a friend of mine got together and put our heads together.
Ew.
In a gay way. And decided... that if you rate women on a 5 and 5 scale on 0.5. So you get 5 on the face, 5 on the body on a 0.5 scale. And you can't be a 10 unless you're famous. The last 0.5 is the only tweak to the system. And wives and girlfriends cannot be rated because, of course, you know, this is no personality or anything like that. Just solidly on looks. Walking down the street, a girl you've never met before. 5 on the face, 5 on the body, on a 0.5 scale.
So then if you fucked a 5 or a 6, it would be okay because her body was a 5.
Well,
her face was a 1 or a 0.
That actually brings in to the point where there are zeros walking around, and we've actually probably been with zeros, and we know people that have been with zeros.
Mm-hmm, without a doubt.
Because you would look at her body and say, what would I rate her body on a, you know, 1 to 5? She definitely gets a 0. What about her face? 1? Maybe? 0? So, you know, 1? And this is a legitimate rating scale, and I defy you to come up with a flaw. I think it's flawless.
I think he's right.
It's
pretty
interesting.
When you stop and you consider, so you're completely not putting in personality.
Nothing.
Just body and face.
5 on the face, 5 on the body. And the only way to score a perfect 10 is if that last 0.5 is fame. That's the only little tweak to it. Like, so, name a famous
person. I don't know
person.
If I like the fame part in that. I don't think I like that. But I think I would just rather it be normal. You know what I mean? I mean, fuck, why? Because then you got, like, Rosie O'Donnell, and she gets an extra 0.5. She's famous.
Well, no, she doesn't get anything. She would be, Rosie O'Donnell, what would you give her on her body?
She might be a genuine 0.
On her face.
Maybe a 1?
No.
I don't know. I think it goes 0 there.
So Rosie O'Donnell is a 0. Like, she wouldn't get a 0.5.
where that would come into play.
No, but she get a .5 if she's famous.
No, where that comes into play.
You got to get some points for fucking Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
I'm sorry.
You do get points for it, but she doesn't rate out on the scale. You get points for fucking a zero.
She should rate out on the scale because she's famous.
No, you get high fives and pats on the backs for fucking a zero.
Dude, I fucked a .5 Rosie O'Donnell.
She's not a .5. The .5 only comes in
if she's
a 9.5.
I found your flaw.
It may be it. The fame.
All right, let me do... Yeah, that is... I don't like the fame part of it.
But I do like the... I think fame should automatically get the .5.
No
matter what, because there is something to fucking a famous person, even if she's a zero all around.
Right.
So I think the .5 automatically comes into play for fame.
All right. Barbara Walters, what do you give her?
Go ahead.
I would give her a zero.
No, come on.
Yeah, her tits hang down to below her belly button.
Yeah, but for an old... You don't put age into consideration?
No, not really. Just straight up
face and body. I'd give her a 3.
What would you give her face?
2.
Body?
1.
So she's a 3?
Yeah.
Alright.
Katie Couric.
Now, I think she goes up to a 6 or 7.
6 or 7? No, that's good. Because when you see a lot of people, you know, they're bragging about who they've been with, and then you put them on this strict scale, go strictly 5 on the face, 5 on the body, you get a lot of women's true number. But you can't do it to wives or girlfriends.
Now, hold on. Katie Couric, you gave her what?
Probably 7.
I don't think so.
Break it down. How?
4 on the face.
What?
And 3 on the body.
Wasn't she just in The Dark Knight? Wasn't that her? Oh, that was Heath Ledger. She looks just like the Joker.
She's not that bad.
Face
is cute.
Face, I give her a 1.
Maybe a 2.
Body, I give her like maybe a 2.
Yeah, she's below a 5. Britney Spears. Let's go pre-crazy Britney Spears. Hit me, baby, one more time. I would say
17-year-old?
18-year-old. All
right.
18-year-old Britney.
How about, let's go with Britney and Drive Me Crazy.
Which one's that? Is this the crazy bitch?
No. Which is
the movie?
No. Yeah, the movie, but she did the song where she's in that red outfit.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, with the camel toe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that outfit, I would give her, she scores a 10. I would give her 5 on the face and 5 on the body.
I think he's right.
Now, if you take back and you get that .5 for fame, now look at Britney after 2 kids, the crazy bitch that has turned into a middle-aged woman, taking pharmaceuticals, drinking wine, and you know, whatever.
7.
That crazy bitch. I'll give her face a 3. She's a lot fatter in the face, a lot chunkier. And her body, a 2. She's a 5. She's went from a 10 to a 5 in my book.
I don't know. I think face-wise, I'd still... That's the Britney Spears face.
Yeah, it's
like
not
distorted
four,
enough.
But
I'd give it I'd give it a 4. Body-wise,
2.
But not, I give her a 3. She's still a 7 in my book.
A 7's good.
Of course it is.
A 7 is very good. When you start pulling in 6s and 7s, you're doing very well for yourself.
All right, let's do this. Moms.
Oh,
your mom?
All right, let's do my mom first.
Your mom gets a 1.
4.
Face.
Really?
Yeah, she gets 1 in the face
and
0 in the body.
Alright, here, for Dubs' mom, let's see. She looks like Dog the Bounty Hunter, but I still give her a 1 for her face. I give that bitch like a 2 for her body. Your mom's a 3, Dubs. Congratulations.
Nice.
She got some big old titties. Like, that's enough.
Yeah.
Big old leathery, suntan titties.
Lizard skin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
Now, Bicurious BJ just sent me the picture of the penguin.
Oh, that he talked about earlier.
Yeah, the fat bitch that he
lost. All
right,
let's all look at the photo and then we can give it the rankings.
So come on in here. BJ was on last segment. He was talking about this girl he had sex with, and we told him to give her a nickname, and we said the penguin. Me personally, I give her a 0 on the body, and a and a 1 on the face. That's beach. That's about Hepe's mom style right there. It's pretty nasty.
It's the bigger girl, right?
Yeah.
I would go with the 1. Her face is not that awful. She's kind of
cute. Yeah, I gave her a 1 on the face and then 0 on the body.
Yeah, she's a 1. So that's the...
Her a 2.
A what?
She actually had a pretty decent face. Look at that face is blowing you. And maybe she puts, like, I don't know, like a barber thing around it, and so it's just her face.
Not one of those dog things so they can't bite their shoulders.
I'd almost give her maybe a 2 or a 3.
A 2 or 3, what would you give her body? A zero.
Zero.
So I don't know if we could take away points for that.
No, you can't. It's strictly face and body, and we'll throw the fame thing out. Maybe the fame is the flaw. But it gives you a legit thing where you hear these guys, these douchebag guys that walk around, oh, she's a 10, you know, and then you go back and look at her. The bitch is nasty. She barely rates out to a 5 at tops.
Wow. It is the Hideout. Hefe Dub, Satchel Patch here with you doing some bedtime thoughts.
I really think that 5 on the body scale really takes the American girls down a peg.
Oh, fuck yeah. They're fat.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's no way. It's really difficult in this day and age to be a 10.
Yeah, Spanish girls, you go look at some of these Indian girls, the purple pussy bitches.
Yeah.
You know, they're really doing the damn thing.
Should we do something really uncomfortable, and should I have you guys rate my fiance who's in the next room?
Sure.
And has no idea? You guys are looking at her. All right. Now, you can be honest. I will be honest.
See, this is tricky territory. That's what you don't want to get into, but rating your wives or girlfriends
or something.
We're
here in the Hideout.
Like
I don't give a fuck. We're going to be on vacation with this there. She'll never hear it.
Mm-hmm.
She probably will. I think my fiance, and this is the God's honest truth, having seen every inch of her body.
All you're going to have to take out all personality and stuff like that. This is basically dickhead guys, looks, and you know, looks alone.
Yeah, looks and body.
Looks and body.
I'm realistic. Mm-hmm. All right? I'm not an asshole. I think my chick is an 8.
Exactly.
Oh, that's insane. That's
I think
crazy.
She is too.
An 8? Really?
Yeah.
4? How are you going? 4 and 4?
4 and 4.
I'm
that's
going 4 and 4.
I'm going 6. I'm going
I'm
3
gonna
and 3.
Fuck you up, fucker.
I'm going 3 and 3.
All right, how do you mean?
3 on the face, 3 on the body.
What's wrong with her?
Nothing. I think that's a good score.
I say 4 and 4.
Really?
Yeah.
4 and 4.
See, she's got an exotic look, so I know that not everyone's going to find her face. I think her face is... Actually, I really, really love her face.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like
to see some...
Fucko. I 4. Her body to me is about a 4.2. She could firm up.
Well, you look at, let's go bodies. Who has one of the, you know, the baddest ass bitch bodies you can think of? A model. Think of who's your favorite model.
I don't dig models though. But I mean, whatever.
Know, somebody, Tyra Banks. Somebody with some big ass titties. Ugh. Somebody. Oh, somebody you see on television.
Tyra Banks gets probably a 4 in my book.
No, like Whoopi Goldberg. You know, I would give her a 7 or 8. No, seriously.
Oh, did you see the thing about The View today? All right, not today, but last week?
What's that?
You
mean 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Whatever. if you go on to
I have it, where she talks about the...
How many guys she's been with, how many nuts she's taken in her... Yeah.
I think I actually have that, if you give me a second.
Yeah.
Ted Danson is my hero.
Why? Well, she has a lot of other... You have a lot of other heroes, too. Compared to what she said,
dude, after,
on The View.
After I used to be a Whoopi Goldberg fan, but until I saw her in Sister Act 2, she stole my heart.
Dude, Eddie, she was awesome in Eddie. That was one of the greatest movies that there's ever been.
Well, we're gonna find out how many people's been in her Jumpin' Jack Gash.
Think of who the most sexy.
You set that up for that stupid ass thing, didn't you? Right?
No,
there.
I just...
You fucking asshole! I hate you. Oh man, I did. I had it somewhere.
Well,
I'll just say,
she's been with 50 guys.
That's not bad.
It really,
really
isn't.
No.
For Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, no.
I
wish it'd be 51. What's that, Whoopi?
I mean, because that's one of those things, like, what you would say, like, would you fuck Whoopi?
Yes.
Of course you would, because it's Whoopi.
Well, no, she's a... Honestly, I'm really attracted to her.
I can't get into her.
Time. Ghost really did it for me as well, the fortune teller. She's very sexy. I dig the dress.
Oh, how is she sexy? That face is just... hideous.
No, it's not.
yeah, I don't know. It is the Hideout. Hefe Dub, Satchel Patch over there. Alright, so, are we done with bedtime thoughts?
Yeah.
You want to move on from? I have one more, but
okay.
It's not funny, but
well,
it's
let's just do it real quick then.
It's kind of thought, you know, it makes you think for a second. Alright, here we go. One final bedtime thought, just to leave you with.
And now, the Hideout Bedtime Thoughts.
All right, we all know that there's an attack on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I know it's hitting kind of close to home for the Satchel Patch over there. However, taking where we are right now with gas prices and everything. And you know I'm very much pro-abortion. If cars could run on baby fat, would I be okay with outlawing abortion so unwanted newborns could be used as fuel?
How so? How'd they be used as fuel if they aren't getting killed?
No, they have to come to term. It's not fetuses. It's baby fat that runs your new hybrid.
Could we just give them lipo?
I don't know. Like, let's say you gave a baby lipo and you just continued to suck out the fat from the baby.
Yeah, you feed it fatty foods for a week and then you suck the fat out that sticks to their bones and then...
Fatty milk. The mama won't have to eat fatty stuff and have some fatty milk.
Because to me, I'm so pro-choice. You know what I mean? And I'm almost pro-abortion. But would it be enough for me to say, I'm okay with outlawing abortion if we can have these babies to fuel our cars?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Like, I think I'd be okay with it. Because think about all the babies that shouldn't be. Like, your little brother just got a chick pregnant. Instead of that growing up to be just another cycle of another dumb fucking redneck. Yeah. You put him into your car engine.
That's
and
my
he
nephew.
Runs your car.
That's my nephew. I would rather have the kid run my car like Flintstones than sticking him in the damn gas tank. Then what are you going to huff?
That is true.
You can't huff baby fat.
I don't think you can huff baby fat.
Yet.
I'll try.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. More of the Hideout. Hefe, Dubs, and the Satchel Patch right here with you on Sirius XM. The Virus 202.
You are listening to...
To the Hideout.
The Hideout.
We thank you so much.
The Hideout.
XM202, The Virus.
The Hideout.
Another dimension, so to say.
The Hideout.
Heard you guys have a anything goes type situation here. Can we get a couple glasses of milk?
Learn more at hideoutradio.com.
Hideout.
Back in the Hideout, Hefe and Dubs. It's the Virus 202, the Satchel Patch, joining us here on this Saturday evening. How are you anyway?
Go to hideoutradio.com. That's kind of a little roadmap there. You can link to our flagship station, WJFK in Washington, D.C., and download our podcasts. Go there, check it out. There's tons of stuff to keep you entertained there on hideoutradio.com, including hideoutheretics.net, where they have every show we have ever done, ever, right there for you to download.
Yeah, Nameless does a great job of that. Satchel Patch, are you having fun? I mean, I know you. At first, you're used to regular old AM radio. You did the FM, you know, morning show stuff. But now we were doing, you know, FM talk Saturday nights in D.C. And now you got the uncensored form of, you know, satellite.
This is good. I like it. I'm liking the environment. It's a good time.
Yeah. It's funny because it feels more like you would if it was you and your voice.
You're just bullshitting, yeah.
There's no filter. You don't have to filter your comments based on... You know, if it's going to be acceptable, am I going to get in trouble to say this? You can actually speak your mind and put out there what's going on in your head.
Right. So I love it. That's the reason that I was a subscriber to both platforms, still am, still will be, and then now that everyone's merged, I mean, I got it all now.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the interview that ONA had with Mel Karmazin.
Uh-uh.
It was pretty interesting what they got planned and kind of what... Each subscriber of each platform will have offered to them, and I think they're going to announce that very, very soon. Of you know, just a little extra premium to get some of the more sought after stations right there, either on your XM or your Sirius.
You know, have we spoken with everyone since I've become a program director?
No.
Yeah, I don't know that we've been on XM since I've become a program director, and yeah, I'm a program director. I'm mainly a talent. But it's funny because even though I am on terrestrial, I do see, especially as talent, that satellite is the future.
Yeah,
and it's funny because you have terrestrial, whether they realize it or not, helping satellite to become the place, especially for real entertainment, i.e. talk, you know, regular, the way regular human beings talk.
Yeah, because it's gotten pretty ridiculous on regular radio that you, the wordage you have to use and what, how many times you have to dance around different subjects and everything. It's not how you talk, and a lot of it's not even that offensive.
Right. It's partially that. It's also partially, too, the idea of, you know, Michael Savage and the mm-hmm. whole autism thing. Another idea of it as well beyond that is, you know, you can't say certain things about race.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's the whole thing, and eventually people are going to be so pissed off that they can't talk like human beings.
They can't talk. They can't listen to human beings talk. It's really odd on where radio has gone.
I had to do the whole thing as a program director because I was one of the few program directors with balls that said, no, you're not going to take away Savage over these autism. He said something about autism. It's not.
Yeah.
But guy, AM guy got in a lot of controversy, okay? And I said, no, you're not going to take him off because where does it stop? What do you, you know, where does it stop?
You may not have agreed with what you said, but you know what? That's what free speech is there for, or like the freedom of speech is to protect different things that offend you, not that don't offend you. It'd be pretty boring if only free speech was held up with stuff you agreed with.
Well, I don't think it matters whether if someone finds it offensive or not, but this is radio. This is someone. A talent gets on the air and expresses their thoughts. Whether you agree with them or whether you find them offensive is irrelevant. It's them expressing their thoughts, and they're entertaining at doing that, so this is why they have this platform.
And the bigger reason that I said that, too, is that you use that then as a springboard for mm-hmm. discussion because it's talk radio.
Yeah.
So if Savage says something about autism, you don't want to go and try to get him fired. You use him and you point at him as an idiot. For whatever was said, whether he is or not, you use that as a discussion about autism. The same goddamn thing that happened with Imus, mm-hmm. you use that as a discussion for race. We are here as artists and entertainers to get you to think about stuff. Now, how serious have we been, you know, over the last however long we've been on? That's irrelevant. The point is you could always point at these guys and like, listen to these fucking schmucks.
Mm.
You know, I would never do that. Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I've done that before. And then you begin to talk about it.
Now, and I don't understand what has happened to allowing the market to dictate what is out there, what products are out there, what shows are out there. If there's a market for it, why can't you express it?
Yeah.
Right. It really, and that's why satellite radio is picking up and doing well, is because there's a market for it.
Well, not only that, but that's what I was saying, getting back to the whole point of terrestrial radio helping satellite, not even realizing it, by, you know, bowing down to these special interests.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to push these incredibly popular people to this platform, and people will follow.
Yep.
And, it's, you know, as a PD, I even said that on the air during my AM talk show. I'm like, you got to stop. It stops now. Otherwise, secretly wanting to be on satellite. Yeah, you know, everyone's gonna go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's infinitely more natural. You know what I mean? And I think that's part of the big thing too.
And it's not just about saying fuck or saying this, that, and the other.
Right.
It's just about saying what's on your mind. And sometimes swear words come out and big deal. And I, you know, as much as I don't agree with it, but it makes sense to me that, you know, you can't say a few dirty words
Why?
On the air.
That is never.
I mean, it does make sense with the public perception of dirty words. I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
I can do without the whole cursing bit. You know, I don't have to curse to make myself feel better.
Exactly.
I can't see. I need to go take a doo-doo. That right there, I need to go take a doo-doo. I could not say.
Right.
Period. And that's something a five-year-old kid says. Mommy, I need to go doo-doo.
Mm.
And you can't say it on the freaking radio? Now, that's too much. There's too much of oversight in that right there. There's too much involved to say you can't say that. Why the hell not?
And the nuances between what could and could not potentially be said and that and how you could skirt around it. Instead of just sitting around like a human being having a real discussion.
Yeah.
And that's really what the biggest bummer is of it all. It is the Hideout, Hefe, Dubs, the Satchel Patch, and we are here with you on the Virus 202. If you want to find out more information about us, you go to Hideout Radio and click on any of the rooms there in the compound, and it could take you to all of our various locations if you will. But it is funny to me how people are just afraid. You know, they're so afraid of this, that, and the other as it relates to words or skin or anything else. Or even real thoughts. Because sometimes it's great to hear guys, you know, like on this station, in the hideout, and hear what they're actually thinking. Because then you as a human being go, holy shit, there are people out there like that in the world. I would have never fucking thought that someone would be
like
that.
I thought I was the only one.
Right.
Now I can actually relate to these guys and you know, and what I was worried about when I was jacking off to women taking dumps on each other. Well, this guy's done it. Now he's got a girlfriend and has a normal relationship. I'm all right. Maybe I'm not that weird.
No, you're not. You're not all right. In fact, there's something really fucking wrong with you if you're doing that.
It happens. I'm not going to judge.
One of the things that we love to do is we always love to have a little hideout download for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done this. We've done it here on XM and, you know, when we're at Real Radio and WJFK and various incarnations of the shows that we do. I love 911 calls. Because 911 calls for the silly bullshit are the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just think of this authority figure. And then the idea of someone thinking that they are so self-important that they have to go bother the authority figure with their little menial bullshit thing. You know what I mean? Even going back to, if you really want to relate it to, the whole idea of what can and cannot be said. That my little child is so important, they can't hear piss on the radio. Or taking a piss. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I saw this really is giving me the excuse to play one of my favorite 911 calls of all time. In Florida, over the last week, a guy is at a Subway, and he's unhappy because the restaurant.
Yeah.
He's unhappy because his sandwich was not made to his liking. How that's possible, I don't know.
Well, they're sandwich artists.
Yeah, they have artistic integrity, and you cannot have them compromise their artistic sandwich artist integrity for your pickles and tomatoes.
So he ordered two sandwiches, checked out, walked outside to find the subs did not have everything he ordered.
Mm-hmm.
He became very upset and belligerent, and because the employee making the sandwich was not doing it correctly, that's why he was getting pissed. So eventually he started screaming at everyone inside, went outside, and called the cops, not just once, twice. And the people inside the restaurant got so fucking scared by this nincompoop that they locked him out.
Good.
They thought he was going to come back inside and maybe shoot the fucking place up.
I wouldn't doubt it. If anybody is that pissed off over a sandwich, you don't know what they're what's going through their head and what they're packing.
So,
especially in Florida.
This is a great excuse to play maybe the greatest 911 call of all time. I don't know if you've heard this one, Satchel Patch. You're not a real big fan of women, are you? Just kind of in general?
Of women?
Yeah. I mean, you like to have sex with them, but
yeah,
overall...
They serve their role.
Like
they
who
serve
they are.
A purpose.
Yeah. Right, let me see where you stand as it relates to women after you hear this Hideout download.
Tax Department, how can I help you? Yeah, I'm over here at Burger King right here in San Clemente.
Mm-hmm.
No, not San Clemente. I'm sorry. I live in San Clemente. I'm in Laguna Niguel, I think. That's where I'm at.
Uh-huh.
I'm at a drive-thru right now.
Uh-huh.
I ordered my food 3 times. They're mopping the floor inside, and I understand they're busy. They're not even busy. Okay, I've been the only car here. I asked them 4 different times to make me a Western barbecue burger. Okay, they keep giving me a hamburger with lettuce, tomato, and cheese, onions. And I said, I'm not leaving.
Uh-huh.
I want a Western burger because I just got my kids from Taekwondo. They're hungry. I'm on my way home, and I live in San Clemente.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she gave me another hamburger. It's wrong. I said 4 times. I said, I want it. She goes, can you go out and park in front? I said, no. I want my hamburger right. So then the lady came to the manager, whoever she is, she came up and she said, do you want your money back? And I said, no, I want my hamburger. My kids are hungry and I have to jump on the toll freeway. I said, I am not leaving this spot. And I said, I will call the police because I want my Western burger done right. Now, is that so hard?
Okay, what exactly is it you want us to do for you?
I send the officer down here. I want them to make me right.
Ma'am, we're not going to go down there and enforce your Western bacon cheeseburger.
What am I supposed to do?
This is between you and the manager. We're not going to go enforce how to make a hamburger. That's not a criminal issue. There's nothing criminal.
So I just sit here and
you need to calmly and rationally speak to the manager and figure out what to do between you.
She did come up and I said, can I please have my Western burger? She said, I'm not dealing with it. She walked away. Because they're mopping the floor and it's all full of suds and they don't want to run. They don't want to go through there and
ma'am, then I suggest you get your money back and go somewhere else. This is This is not a criminal issue. We can't go out there and make them make you a cheeseburger the way you want it.
Well, that is that you're supposed to be here to protect me.
Well, what are we protecting you from, a wrong cheeseburger?
No.
Is this a harmful cheeseburger or something? I don't understand what you want us to do.
Well, just come down here. I'm not leaving.
No, ma'am, I'm not sending the deputies down there over a cheeseburger. You need to go in there and act like an adult and either get your money back and go home.
She is not acting like an adult herself. I'm sitting here in my car. I just want them to make my kid a Western burger.
Ma'am, this is what I suggest. I suggest you get your money back from the manager and you go on your way home.
Okay.
Okay? Bye-bye.
I love it. What a dumb bitch.
Yeah.
First of all, she's lazy as hell. She should be home making her husband and her kids dinner because she picked them up from Taekwondo because the little punks can't fend for themselves because mommy is off doing other things, you know, during the day when she should be taking care of the house, cooking, cleaning, and doing the dishes. And she's whining over a freaking hamburger? The bitch needs a black eye. She hasn't been fucked in years, obviously. This woman has serious issues.
Yo, well, yeah, no shit. And the other thing about it, too, is the whole idea of I am so important, and God damn it, I need the cops to get involved with my fucking cheeseburger. This entitlement. This bitch is why the terrorists hate us.
I don't know if you've ever worked in food service before.
Oh, yeah.
You get these type of people every single day. That phone call that the 911 officer got, I got those at least two or three times a day working in food service.
That woman has balls doing that, too, acting an ass like that in the restaurant. If she touches any of that food that was stuck out that window wrong, she's got some serious balls.
Right, because you know they're fucking with it. But you listen to that, and it so kind of sums up everything that the reason almost why satellite radio is here. Like, would be the woman that's complaining, you know, that her kid, her precious little snowflake, has heard something that it shouldn't hear.
I was bringing him home from Taekwondo, and I heard piss on the radio.
And she has the opportunity to change the channel, but instead, she's going to file a complaint instead of handling her business herself.
Yeah, instead of just switching over a radio station, she's going to take the time, because she has all the time in the world, because, of course, probably her husband's paying for everything that she has. She has all the time in the world to sit there, write a letter, put a stamp on it, and send it to the FCC and to the radio station.
It just fucking drives me nuts, man. And this really is part of the whole thing of, you know, what's going on? Why are we so goddamn self-absorbed? It's all about me, 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 and I am the most important thing on earth. And if you can't fucking understand that, then how dare you not think that I'm not the most important thing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It drives me nuts. This brings me to my second favorite 911 call, also a mother that needs to be bitch slapped. This one's out of Texas.
The 12-year-old is completely out of control, and I physically, if she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over to shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke.
Okay, that's not funny, Mike.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to file a formal complaint.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well,
Hold on.
And that's another one, because the setup to that was this woman's kids were fighting, and she could not get those kids under control. She calls 911 to get the police to come over to parent for her, and then, again,
the 12-year-old is completely out of control, and I physically, if she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over to shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke.
He is
okay, that's not
scared.
Funny, Mike.
I'm
sorry. I'm going to file a formal complaint.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well,
sorry,
doesn't
hold on.
I need a police officer.
Hold on.
How about a fucking apologizing that you're not a good parent?
Yeah. You've let these kids get so out of control and huge that you can't fucking handle them anymore.
It's the society of me, man. We're living in a time that people don't give a fuck about anybody else but themselves.
And when those cops show up, they'll be like, no, I don't want you to arrest them. I don't want you to arrest them. You call them out there just to break up the fight and not arrest these kids. These kids should be in jail after that, and maybe they'll learn the lesson. But no, the mother will sit there and say, I want to give them another chance, and so they can get called on again. And the cops can waste more of their time by breaking up a stupid girl fight.
All they need is some orange sherbet push-ups. And a little bit of time out, and these kids will be just fine. Please, officer, don't take them to jail.
Mm-hmm.
They're such sweet kids, if you only knew. This fat 350-pound bitch, this 12 years old, you know, all she needs is a box of orange sherbet push-ups.
Flintstone style, please. Here's another one. And it's not always women, but the favorites are usually women because women are the most asinine on earth out of all beings.
This is what happens when they get empowered. This is the type of shit right here.
911, do you need fire, medical, or police?
No, ma'am, I don't. I don't have an emergency. Two police officers just left my house just now. Third, can I get their names, please? Could you throw them back my way?
Do you need them to come back there?
Oh, I'd like that, yeah.
Why do you need them to come back there?
Because I have an emergency. I'll think of something. Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I just thought he was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him again. But I don't know how to go about doing that without calling 911.
Bitch needs to get fucked.
Yeah,
she just needs some cock. She just needs some long cop cock.
She was bold. I like that, though. I'm just be honest with you, bitch. He looked good. I want him to come over here and
fist me.
And post me up and give me the business.
It is the Hideout, Hefe, Dubs, the Satchel Patch hanging out with you. So those are a few. I mean, I got some other ones, too. Like, here's one out of Nashville. This is pretty interesting.
What do y'all want him to kill me so you can put yellow paper around you and say, we got this, just put it down? Is that it?
Okay, ma'am. I'll update the car. Get that to come up as soon as possible. I really just don't give a shit what happens.
I love it. I really just don't give a shit what happens.
That was the operator?
Yeah.
Play that again.
All right, hold on.
What do y'all want him to kill me so you can put yellow paper around you and say, we got this, just put it down? Is that it?
Okay, ma'am. I'll update the car. Get that to come up as soon as possible. I really just don't give a shit what happens.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. Because that's the truth, you know? Imagine if you were a 911 operator.
Oh,
just think of
it.
Just
all the retards. I mean, to call 911, there has to be a really big emergency, or you have to be really dumb.
Right. I called 911 for a non-emergency.
Why?
My apartment flooded one time, and I didn't. I called them, and I prefaced the call. I said, all right, this is not an emergency.
Then why did you call 911?
Because I didn't know who else to freaking call.
Operator.
No. You are the dumbass that's doing this.
The apartment above me flooded. I had water dripping through the walls, and water was dripping out of the electrical sockets, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning to the point where they're sparking up and they cut off. So it kind of was an emergency. I didn't know if it was going to catch on fire, but I didn't know how to turn. The water needed to be turned off to the entire building.
And call a plumber.
Wait, not at 4 o'clock in the freaking morning.
Yes, there's 24-hour plumbers.
I'm thinking the fire department has to come out
that
there.
That is a good point, though. What time do you, like, try to preemptive strike? You know what I mean? Like, if I don't, this could turn into a fire, and it could get
really bad. Well, there's non-emergency numbers for that. Well, and if they deem it an emergency, they will.
Usually you don't know those
All you got to do is dial zero
the
operator.
No,
shut up.
She's going to unplug that,
in
here.
All you need to do is dial zero, say, hey, what's the non-emergency number for whatever area you're in, and they'll connect you right to it.
I think there should be something easy to remember.
There
you
are no
zeros.
There are zeros!
Dial the operator and ask her how to find something. Pick up the phone and dial zero. You're going to get nothing. There is no freaking operator anymore. She's standing by there with her headphones on, unplugging this jack into that jack. All right, I'll plug you into there like we're freaking the Andy Griffin Show. Over here with the bitch connecting phone calls, there is no zero.
It is, no, it's 411 now though, right?
I don't know.
Hi, I need the number to Tampa's non-emergency police line.
Call it on this asshole. So you got an idiot you're doing a radio show with that doesn't understand how things work.
Called 911. They had the correct information. They gave me the emergency numbers to call at the apartment, and then I got them to come turn the freaking water off. But I told him, I said, hey, this is not an emergency, but my apartment is flooding. Water's dripping out of the electrical sockets. I need somebody who has the know-how to come
Tampa,
shut
Florida?
The water off to this freaking building.
Right.
You know, I thought that was kind of worthy.
Police number?
All right, he's trying over there.
Okay.
He's getting it. You just pissed him off.
There's a zero?
You pissed him off.
Who the hell
why did you not?
Zero?
Why did you not?
All right.
You never knew there was a zero before?
Back in the day. Like on black and white television, I've seen that broad
813.
Alright.
231.
Alright.
Amazing. All out of zero.
I didn't know there was a zero.
Yes, it's zero.
So we're still stuck in the black and white television days.
No, we're not stuck there, but
What is, honestly, dialing zero, who does that occur to? It didn't occur to me. My apartment's flooded. I didn't, you know, when I think
you
of dialing
zero.
No, when I think of zero, I think of the old bitch on black and white television.
You a dumb motherfucker.
Unplugging things.
Alright, now here's the thing. You can hit zero, but I would also think too they should make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you have idiots like this. So it's 911 for emergency, and then blank 11, whatever it is, maybe 011, I don't know, to, you know, all non-emergency type situations. I think that would be good. That way it kind of goes and you know it's kind of, it's the secondary to a 911. You know what I'm saying?
The non-emergency emergency line.
Right! Exactly!
My apartment's flooding at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Now let me ask you this.
Alright.
If you're the one that's drunk.
Okay.
And you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call the new non-emergency emergency line or do you call 911?
If you're drunk and driving?
Listen to this.
Hello?
Hello, Dodge County Sheriff's Department calling. We just got a 911 call from your cell phone.
Yes.
Is everything...
I just want to know if somebody could follow me home because somebody seems to think I can't drive home straight.
Okay, why is that?
Oh, he seems to think I'm too intoxicated to drive.
Okay, and so you called 911 or he called 911?
Well, he wanted me to call 911 because he thinks I'm too drunk to drive.
And he's riding in the car with you?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And are you driving, home?
Are you driving now or where
yes,
are you?
Yes, I am.
Can I talk to him?
Sure. He wants me. He's talking to me. He says he ain't talking to anybody.
Classic.
Okay, so he's riding with you, and he called 911 because he thinks you're too intoxicated to drive.
Yeah, but he ain't going to talk to nobody.
Okay, but you're still driving. Have you
yes,
had
I
too
am.
Much to drink tonight?
Huh?
Have you had too much to drink tonight that you shouldn't be driving?
I don't think so, ma'am.
Okay, and you're almost home, you said?
Yes, I am.
So where do you live at?
Fox Lake.
Okay, where are you now?
About the corner of C&P.
Okay. What kind of vehicle are you in?
Pickup truck, 2002, tan.
What's your name, ma'am?
Pat Dykstra.
Pat? Okay. Well, I can certainly let you go, Pat. I don't want to cause you to...
I would appreciate that because I don't like driving on the phone.
Yeah, we don't like to see people that are drinking out the driving.
Okay, thank you.
So, Pat, drive carefully, okay?
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now, the 911 operator, I think, is at fault.
Why?
Because she could have said, pull your car over right now, because what if something happens?
She doesn't know how intoxicated she is, though.
But she's drunk. The bitch is obviously drunk if she's calling, say, I think
she
I'm
she could just have an impediment.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But if she's calling to ask this lady if she's drunk, the operator should say, because let's say... She hangs up, all right, she sends the cops, go get this bitch, she's driving drunk, and they're on the way to get her, and she runs a stop sign, has a head-on collision, and somebody dies. This 911 operator could have said, pull your car over right now, you shouldn't be, if you think you're too drunk to be driving, pull your car over right now where you stand, and we'll send somebody there to help you.
The redneck has a point. He really does have a point over there, because he's right. I think you and I love it because obviously she's baiting this bitch and they give out every single information so that the cops can go and get her. You know what I mean? More than anything else. But the patch is right over there. I think he's got it. Here's another one. Here's a dude, and he's in a similar situation.
What was your point?
I just don't know if I'm safe to be driving.
Okay. And why wouldn't you be safe?
Pretty drunk. I don't feel good.
Where are you right now?
Between Kent and South Center. I just don't want to get in trouble, man. I just want
to... Okay, well, you're going to get in trouble if you continue to drive. Can you pull over for me, sir?
Yeah?
Can you pull over for me so you're no longer driving?
But I'm going to get in trouble then, too, aren't I?
Okay, yeah, but you're not safe if you're driving when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Can you pull over to the shoulder?
I'm going to get in trouble then, too.
Can you please pull over to the shoulder? It's not safe for you to be driving. You can get hurt if you keep driving.
You're right.
Can you pull over for me?
Yes, sir. I'll do whatever you want. I don't want to kill anybody else.
Yeah.
You
I don't want to hurt anybody either. Okay, I'm going to hang up with you, Mike. I just want you to talk to him, okay?
Very good. You got it. I'm going to be off.
All right, so you're
what
right, Dutch Patch. Good for you, man.
So you pull over, and all you have to do is take the keys out of the ignition. You're not driving. You thought you may be intoxicated or whatever. You decided to sleep it off. really, that's no different than people drink and drive all the time. There's a reason bars have parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decide you really can't do it anymore, officer, if your keys are not in the ignition and you're pulled over taking a nap, they can't say.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, you got to remember we're nationwide right now, so I don't know
driving
if that's
laws
true.
Are different in different places.
Yeah,
no,
that's
period.
Not true in
no,
every state.
Drinking laws and driving laws are different in different
places. Is there a law against getting in your car with a 12-pack of beer, going to pull over on the side of the damn road, sitting in your car in the median and getting chit canned?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you're in the driver's seat, I think there's different laws, different places.
Well, get out of the driver's seat and get in the back seat.
But a lot of states have open container laws, so you can't have an open container in your car at all.
Open container is a lot better than DWI or DUI and getting your license suspended. Let me pay a $50 fine and $150 for getting my car towed.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. So what are you advocating here?
Don't call the cops if you're drinking and freaking driving, you dumbass.
Well, no shit. Obviously. It is the Hideout, Hefe, Dubs, the Satchel Patch on the Virus 202. So anyway, those are some kind of the fun. It goes back, and again, there's so many stories of this when we're in Tampa Bay. I mean, we had one guy that was upset because he felt like he lost money at a strip club, so he was calling the cops about that.
Called four times
over that.
One thing I used to do when I was, a junior in high school, I worked overnight at a Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be like, 2-3 o'clock in the morning after the bars closed, and, people would stop in for their coffee, donuts, whatever they wanted to kind of get them home. And they'd come in, and me and my friends would be sitting there just talking, bullshitting with the guy. And one of my friends would go, "So, were you out drinking tonight?" And he's like, "Yeah, drinking a little?" "Oh, more than a little." And then that's all we needed to know. We would he would run out there, write down the tag marks and everything on the car, and the guy would pull out, start driving, we'd see which way to go. Call 911. "Hey, you guys got a drunk driver heading this way. Here's his make, model, license plate number, everything."
Now, part of it is, all right.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, you're doing
it. We're just laughing about how we ruined that guy's year.
But yeah, you're a fucking dick, though. Like, it's a really prick thing to do. I mean, it's a good positive thing,
yeah,
I suppose.
That never came into our head. We just wanted to fuck with the guy.
Yeah, you just wanted to ruin some guy's entire weekend. Could you imagine if that happened, like, at all these late-night eateries?
Honestly?
Like, at every Taco Bell and Wendy's and all these places, or Waffle House.
I'm going to defend my man Dubs over here. You're saying he's fucking with a guy. He could have saved some lives.
I could have, but that never entered my mind.
Well, yeah.
But listen, sometimes, and I've talked about this on the show before, sometimes these accidents were meant to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes a drunken driving accident, while you may think is the worst thing in the world, you never know what could have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you'll hear a story about a family of three getting hit by a drunk driver. Well, what are the chances that maybe that the child that was in the back seat grows up to be a child rapist? You know? So in a sense, this car accident
saved
a whole bunch of children from getting raped.
I actually had a good experience come out of a drunk driving accident with me personally. Now, it's not... I didn't turn out to be a rapist, but I smashed the hell out of my car wrapped around a telephone pole drunk as piss one night. And I still have duct tape on my steering wheel where I had to cut the airbag out that night.
That's the car you're still driving?
Yeah. That's why it's all ghetto and beat up. I wrapped it around a telephone pole drunk. And
How long ago?
Maybe four years ago. But every time I did have written on there, "Don't drink and drive," written in permanent marker on my steering wheel. I didn't get a DWI. The cop happened to be my neighbor. He made me call my dad. I got an ass chewing from my dad, which I could take.
Yeah.
And the officer sitting there, "You know, you're fine. Take him home." My dad's back there, "Take him to jail. The kid's not going to learn his lesson. Take him to jail." You know, I'm like, "Dad, they're letting me go. Take him to jail. He's drunk. Look at his car. It's wrapped around a telephone pole. Take him to jail." I was like, "What an ass." But anyway, you know, I used to drink and drive just absolutely shit-faced. You know, and now I'm more reserved about it. I try not to. The most... You know, absolutely trying my best not to. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I may here and there. But literally, it could have saved my life because I had absolutely no regard. I would just, you know, knock back 20 beers and go parading around town. We used to actually go road popping where we'd put a 30-pack of beer in the vehicle with us and ride around town and drink it, listening to the radio loud as hell. That was our Saturday night.
Dubs, yours wasn't too far off from that too when you were in high school, right? I mean, you guys would do the same thing in Michigan, kind of.
Oh, back roading?
Right.
Yeah, we'd go back roading all the time, go to the dirt roads.
Well, back roading's different than road popping. That's just riding into the city, you know, riding around the interstate through town. Now, off roading and maybe back roading, that's going through, you know.
That's the pussy way of road popping.
That's actually the more fun way to do it, you know. Mm. But once you get,
because you're going really fast on dirt roads.
Yeah.
So do they have
that's dangerous?
Yeah. Did they have DUIs when you were in Arkansas?
Absolutely.
And you guys just didn't give a fuck.
No, the cops were there drinking with us. The cops were at the party. These were your buddies. These are your pot smoking buddies.
Because if you grew up in a small town, you would know, Jefe, that you know the cops, every last one of them.
Yeah, the guy was my neighbor.
And me working at Dunkin' Donuts, like, you know, give them free coffee, donuts, whatever they wanted. I had a free pass to do whatever I wanted.
Right.
I'd get pulled over all the time for stupid shit. They'd just go and buy me breakfast.
Cops will come out there. I've known cops come out to serious, you know, one vehicle accidents. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Get out of here. Go call your dad. That's what the officer told me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go call your dad and come pick you up. Tell him come pick you up.
I wonder if I missed out growing up in a small town. Because I grew up in I grew up in the big city. I grew up in Dallas. And so it was never any of that shit. Never would have imagined doing any of that shit.
Yeah, Officer Stoney was great. He would let me do anything I wanted.
I know there's a girl, there's a police officer in my old hometown, who she's been run through about 6, 7, 8, 9 of my buddies. Just a complete cop whore. And she's smoking pot with them. She's, you know, doing a little blow with them and stuff like this, to where the point now, she's dating a guy that spent 6 years in the state penitentiary in Arkansas, and is like a four-time felon. Last time I was back, they were dating each other, and I was like, what the hell is this? You know? But, I mean, this is the police. In your hometown, they're guys you went to high school with. They're the ones you were drinking beer with.
We had a couple prick cops that rolled through our town, you know, that, you know, they didn't last long, though, because me and my buddies, we would intentionally get pulled over and get tickets from them over and over and over again. And then we would file harassment lawsuits.
Shut up!
I swear to God.
I had a friend of mine, called him Rick the Cop. I almost got into a serious fight with him because before I had my accident.
I want to commend you on such a creative nickname.
Yeah. What, Rick the Cop? Rick the Cop, I left the bar pissed drunk one night, and I'm on the way home, just, you know, parading around town on the highways. Blue lights come up, and I start to really freak out. And here I come and get a DWI, pull over to the side of the road. And Rick the Cop says, what are you doing, idiot? I say, you jackass, you scared the shit out of me. I'm about to kick your ass. What are you doing? And it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. He was like, I saw you drive by. And he said, I knew that you and because I went talk to him earlier, told him we were going out to the bar. And he was like, I was just going to fuck with you a little bit. He's like, you dick. What are you doing?
Wow, man. I fucking missed out on all of this stuff.
Oh, man. We would drive hammered home from...
Which, by the way, we do not advocate.
No, it's wrong.
So wrong.
But, I mean, this is just the small-town mentality where you just drive home hammered. You really wouldn't worry about it because you'd almost have a motorcade behind you of cops getting you home. Which, it was a good way of growing up and learning, you know. You can get busted really easy. Thank God I know these cops.
How many, have you ever gotten a DUI?
No.
Satchel Patch, how many have you had?
Zero.
How many do you think you should have had
if
these boys were not your cops?
I should not have a driver's license.
These cops were not your boys.
I should not have a driver's license, period. End of story. I wrapped my car around a telephone pole. That should have been one. And the other guy was just playing. Maybe he wouldn't even pull me over, but he recognized me. But honestly, I mean, there could have been, you can go... A 3-year period, 4-year period in my life where every night, if I would have been pulled over, I could have got a DWI.
Holy shit. And you just imagine that is going on constantly. Constantly. All right, let's take a break.
We actually, before we go to break, when we knew the cop schedule, and who was on what nights, and if it was a cop that really didn't like us too much, we'd have a decoy. We'd have one person drive around all fast and swerving and everything. And, like, so he'd get pulled
Smokey
over.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. So he'd get pulled over. He'd get pulled over, and we would be able to skate free through the town because there's only one cop working the night beat.
We had roadblocks we had to avoid. We'd send a dummy. We'd find the sober dummy, like the one sober driver that's going to, you know, drive all 80 yeah. people at this party. You head out this way.
The guy's high on ecstasy, but he can't detect it with a breathalyzer.
You send them out three different directions. One of them hits the roadblock, calls back to the party. This is where the roadblock is, and everybody scampers out the other way.
Oh, you!
Our parties were in the woods, surrounded by bonfires.
Yeah, and crosses on fire. We'll take a break. Come back. It is the Hideout. Hefe Dubs and the Satchel Patch on the Virus 202.
You're in the Hideout.
The Hideout with El Hefe and J Dubs.
Now they're totally gay for each other.
The Hideout. XM 202, the Virus.
The Hideout.
Why? You guys feel you have to be so negative.
Hang up on the whore. Next caller.
Negative.
You shut the hell up, sir. Get in the car accident right now. Look
get
at you.
It.
You already got the lung cancer. You beast.
Negative.
And the face fits kicking.
Negative.
We're done with you and your show sucks. Beat it.
The Hideout with El Jefe and J Dubs.
Such a negative influence.
Back in the Hideout, Hefe Dubs, the Satchel Patch. It is the Virus 202. Thank you to Ron and Fez and O&A and everybody for allowing us to hang out.
Our buddy Mel.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Comerson. WJFK.com is where you can kind of find out about us normally and what we normally do. But all that is linked through Hideout Radio. So if you want to go to Hideout Radio, it's got links to RonFez.net. They're always good to us over there. And, HideoutHeretics.net. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. As we're getting close to wrapping this thing up on a Saturday evening, wherever you might happen to be. Alright, let's do some dumb jam poetry.
Yeah, this is a thing where actually the Satchel Patch brought it to the table for us, where we will kind of make a poem each week and do...
Well, explain why, Satchel Patch. I mean, oh, go ahead, Dubs. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's good. Satchel, how'd you come up with it?
Well, me and a buddy of mine would exchange poetry. He started it when he would sleep with these rank, raunchy bitches, and we would make fun of him all the time. And, you know, the reason he did it was pretty much for the story, and we would laugh about it. And, you know, there got to a point where we just were beating a dead mule. And it was still funny, and we were trying to find out new ways to laugh at this, and it came, and he started writing poetry about these raw bitches that he would get with. And so then he would send them to me, and then I would try to make up a poem, and then we started going about this clowning, if you will, through poetry. And the poetry was just awful. It was just a different way for us to make fun of fat bitches and clown what was going on in our day-to-day lives.
And there is something, actually, I thought when the Satchel Patch said, hey, I want to be on this show, and I want to, you know, I want to be on a show for guys, and here's the idea that I got, poetry, I was like, you're a fucking idiot. But... it really does end up kind of being fun.
Yeah.
Like, everyone...
It's really an easy way to bring up some good stories from the week.
Yeah. Not it's that. And then, you know, I've even had PDs tell me, or listen to the show, and they're like, I thought I'd hate it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate myself for loving it. But anyway, not to overbuild it, but it's the whole idea of why the fuck are you doing poetry on the radio, especially here. It's fun.
But it helps you writing. I'm an awful writer, and that's one of my faults.
And speaker.
Yeah, well, that as well. But I was not able to put my words into writing, and this is actually taking something that happened, you know, trying to write about it and be a little creative. It's a little fun.
Yeah. All right, so usually we'll give the title of what the poem is, and then we will, you know, get the beat going, and then from there we move on to actually hear the poem. So, and then we'll discuss it. Who would like to begin? Satchel Patch, it's your little baby of sorts, so why don't you start it off?
All right, no problem. The title of my poem is Surprise in a Sack. One muggy Florida afternoon, I was chilling to the beat on the 1900 block of Skeet, Skeet, Skeet. I was on my couch, and if I remember correctly, my brother was on the other. I felt the need to grump. Over the toilet, I must hover. So I grabbed a plastic bag and headed to the bathroom. When I shit, it stinks and sounds like boom. From ear to ear, my grin was wide, for in the bag I placed my prize. I could hardly contain my laughter. I jumped with joy. My bro was in the next room, and for him I had a surprise. Weasel, you'll never believe what I found. It's remarkable. Look here, see for yourself. The weasel proceeded to open the bag with delight. Little did he know, a big hairy turd would soon be in sight. He gasped, gagged, and cursed with anger, turned to me and gave me the finger. The bag of shit took flight across the room. It flew towards me where I stood at the door. The bag landed with a splat at my feet. I kicked the bag out into the bushes where it stayed for at least a week. We laughed, gagged, and jumped with glee. Poor Kelly Thomas drove into a tree. Who's the person at the end? I was trying to find something that rhymed with glee. It's some bitch I used to go to high school with that died in a car accident.
Oh, man, come on. All right, so what happened, though? I was just
sitting around the house. We were bored, you know, playing Nintendo, me and my brother. He got one of the new PlayStation 3s, you know, and pretty fun. So we're sitting there. We've been playing for quite some time, and I needed to take a dump. And I figured, you know, what better way to pull a prank than I just went double bagged, got a couple of the plastic grocery bags, put it around the toilet, shit in the bag, and then pulled the bag away, you know, set it aside, wiped my ass, flushed all that nonsense, then come in there with the bag, and the way it hung, it made it difficult to open the bag, so I go over to my brother, I was like, man, check this out, this is cool, man, here, I handed it to him. And so he's like, huh, you know, with this confused look on his face, like, what do we got here? What's in the bag? And the way it hangs, you can't just pull it open and see. You have to almost grab it from the bottom and push it up. So he can't see or smell it. And right as about he grabs it from the bottom and starts to push it out, when it came into sight, the smell hit him right about the same time he was able to see it. And then he's like, ah! You know, he gives out a holler and he gets pissed and starts cursing at me. Then he grabbed the bag. And I was over standing by the door, just rubbing my hands together, stomping my feet, just ready for him to glance at this big hairy turd. And he threw it at me, and he missed me, thank goodness. I kicked it out the door and threw it out in the bushes.
Oh, Jesus, man. The shit that you guys do, literally. How long ago was this?
2 weeks ago?
Maybe a week ago?
Shut up. Really?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Was this before or after he found out that he was...
After. I'm trying to do things to lighten the mood.
That he has a kid.
Yeah, he's 21 years old and got a kid on the way now. It's his 19-year-old girlfriend. But, you know, when I'm trying to hang out with him and, you know, be there for him.
Kind of have like a last hurrah.
Well, yeah, but it's the mood is just so down. You know, she's pregnant. What am I going to do? And, you know, you need a pick-me-up, something to laugh about, because right now it's kind of hard to laugh at things. And I thought, what better way to get a good laugh than shit in a bag and give it to him as a present?
All right, well, there you go. That's fucking hilarious. You guys are... Now, do you have any old poems? Like, I know you and your buddies, like the kind of... I know we already did it, but mm-hmm. like some poems that you and your boys...
Would pass around to
each
other?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do mine next. Then we'll do one of those, or maybe even do Dubs's. All right, let's go ahead and do mine. Mine is entitled... Hold on a second. By the way, I'm playing two different voices.
Okay.
All right. Mine is entitled Insert Here. Hey, bro, what's going on?
Not much. I now know what it's like to insert a tampon.
Huh? You have to explain.
I went to the doctor this week, and she put in a finger in my ass to try to diagnose the pain.
Oh, yeah. I've had that done.
I remember you telling me that. Why didn't you mention it's so much fun?
What the fuck are you talking about? Are you in a drugged up, delirious state?
Dude, don't tell anyone, but I almost came on that shitty paper where she brushed up against my prostate.
Can I take a guess on who the one voice is?
Sure.
Chafee.
Yeah, Chafee from the Giant Brian Show on Project 961 in Atlanta. He was supposed to join us, but he is busy right now. Having someone milk his prostate.
Oh,
so he, he calls me. I don't know if he wants, I don't think he cares. Whatever. Fucking, whatever. Mm-hmm. Listen to his show, project961.com. He calls me and says, dude, I might have nut cancer. I'm like, oh. What? He's like, I'll call you later. And that's it.
Like, I love how he does like news teases almost, where he'll sell, all right, I'll tell you about it later. Stick around. Make sure you answer your phone next time.
Right, exactly. So then I'm calling the motherfucker constantly because I want to know whether to laugh or not. You know what I mean? Or, you know, what exactly I need to do. So get him like some of those trucksticles, you know, for
yes.
his truck.
With one missing.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, finally I fucking get a hold of him. And he's like, yeah, man, he's like, I'm a man now. What do you mean? I got fingered.
So it makes you a bitch.
Oh, well, I think everybody's been fingered, right?
Yeah, you know, and I guess, I mean, he's fine. Sadly, he doesn't have the nut cancer. But he said it was a chick who, you know, had...
Yeah, had to put that finger there.
And so she put it in,
And he's like, you know, we were talking about the sensation because I know a little bit about this.
Mm-hmm.
I was bleeding from my ass for about a year and a half.
Ooh. Or more.
Yeah, or possibly even more.
Really?
Turns out it was just stress-related, but and it went away. But, man, I had fingers in my ass. I had these fucking, this huge, like, almost the size of a microphone.
Why not just put a tampon in there? Bitches do it.
So, anyway, we're, like, kind of comparing war stories, and he was like, dude. He's like, so I'm sitting there. Pantsless. This chick's got her finger up my ass. I'm not hard, you know? I'm just laying there on the shitty white doctor paper that's protecting the thing. And he goes, she brushed up against my prostate and almost fucking came. He's like, there's a whole new world out there I had no fucking idea about. And I'm like, yes, now you do.
It's so hard to enjoy. When I had it, it was so uncomfortable. When they slap four fingers worth of a salve right on the old hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get four fingers deep and slap it on there, and she says, relax. And I say, woman, I am trying to relax. You're about to stick your finger in my ass. I'm a little nervous here.
A little tense, yeah.
It's gross.
Now,
I didn't like it.
I think I would like it better if a doctor did it than a girlfriend, because girlfriends have those long nails and everything.
Oh,
and,
yeah, but
I've had that before where a girlfriend slipped a finger in.
Usually your
really?
Dick,
you get scratched up.
Well, usually your dick's in their mouth, so, you know, it kind of, you know, it's not so bad.
Who did that to you?
My ex.
Really?
Like, right when we first started dating.
No.
Yeah, she slipped a few fingers in.
A few? Milk the old gland.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No, because, you know what, that's why I said I think I'd like it more if a doctor did, because her nails, you could really kind of feel them.
Not so much in, you know, don't go knuckle deep.
Yeah, she went about knuckle deep.
Oh, that's bad.
Maybe
one knuckle or big knuckle? Your big knuckle?
Yeah.
Ooh!
Like probably right past this one.
Just a little touch.
Like this, like right here.
Whoa! Oh, that's a good 2 inches. 2 inches.
Dude! What the hell?
That's like a small penis.
Yeah, but those nails... They start scratching on the inside, and it's painful.
Yeah, I'm more of the, just touch it.
Yeah.
Don't need an insert.
Alrighty then. let's, Dubs, you got yours?
Yeah.
Alright, here we go. And this then we'll wrap up with one of Satchel Patches, because that's why we kind of do it.
And mine, we're hoping to have Dr. Steve on later to talk about this, maybe in the next break.
Okay.
This one's called Once Bitten, Twice Shy. I have a dog, and so does my roomie. They don't get along, and they try to fight through me. I've broken up their fights many times over. Not a scratch on my body. I guess my luck's over. I walk into the house, and the dog was ready. Fur was flying, and the fighting each other, the pace was steady. I tried to stop it. I started screaming, like a kick in my bag. I start bleeding like a young girl, first time on the rag.
So you get your pinky bitten.
My pinky and my ankle.
Breaking up a cat fight.
A dog fight.
And
squirrel?
Something happened to...
My finger was turned into minced dog food.
Mm-hmm.
And so was my upper ankle.
No shit.
Yeah, I got some stitches in both of them right now.
How long did it take you to go to the ER and everything?
Well, I went once, and like the wait was like 4 or 5 hours long, and I had to get to work and everything, so I'm like, fuck this, I gotta go. So I go over to the walk-in clinic, they check it out over there, and they say, hey, you gotta get back over to the ER, we can't do anything about it here, it's way too deep, way too messy.
So just like your ass.
Yeah, so I'm like, fuck, I just went up and to work. And tried to suck it up through there. I left a little bit early from work, and went to another emergency room. And they gave me some antibiotics, and they stitched me up. But they couldn't stitch me up all the way because it is an animal bite, and if it gets infected, they want it to be able to ooze out. So I'm still bleeding quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooze out in case it gets infected.
Yeah, they don't want all the infection to be stuck in there.
Yeah, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nasty. So the wound is still open.
Yeah.
When I was looked at it after the day it happened,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty big. You maybe could stick your pinky in it.
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And just they
only covered up the big one. There's like three smaller ones out on my ankle too.
Duct tape. I can make little butterfly band-aids with duct tape.
So what happened to this dog? You put it down or not?
No, I had to fill out an animal attack report.
Nice.
But I
kill that bitch.
But I completely played ignorant on if I knew the dog or not.
Fuck you, man. That's a dangerous dog
that
someone else could get attacked by.
It's not a dangerous dog.
What if a kid...
Or even out of the protection of your own dog.
A little kid's walking his little chihuahua, and this crazy mutt goes up and starts attacking the chihuahua.
It's a good dog.
And the 3-year-old or the 5-year-old steps in and protects this dog and just gets mauled.
You're a fucking prick, man.
Why?
And that's just the God's honest truth.
You should have kicked this dog's ass for biting you.
You didn't.
Taught it a lesson.
You didn't do anything. That's what's amazing about it.
And you stand up for yourself.
No, not
at
all.
I do.
Or your ankle or your pinky. Your pinky was turned into Alpo, and your ankle was turned into Old Roy, and you did nothing about it.
I wouldn't even feed a dog I hated Old Roy.
Old Roy's good stuff.
No,
my dog
not.
Lived off that. Hey, gee, yo, pansy. Only tender vittles for
yes.
my animal. I get canned tender vittles.
I do. My dog's my
what
baby.
What the fuck is that shit?
All right, give us one of your...
This may be an original from my buddy Killer Kyle.
That started this whole idea of...
Yeah, it was me and him. This may be one of the initial...
By the way, real quick, there's going to be pictures. There is pictures already up on yardstickofdeath.com of my wounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that your ex?
No.
Oh, okay.
This is titled, Oh, What's Her Face? There was a dame. Oh, what's her face? I met her in rehab. What other place? She had a nice ass with titties on top. Could screw like a racehorse all night nonstop. When one night during a sexcapade, something crazy happened. A story was made. She said I could do anything that tickled my fancy. In my head, thoughts were romancing. The degrading things I could do to this bitch. Should I lean over so butthole she could lick? But why not try something classic? Something that works every time. Something clowning and wild, like a good punchline. I said, well, I must go for the pooper. As we went at it in bed, roto what? Roto rooter. Then came the point to turn around and bend over. I started to slide in with my hand on her shoulder. All was well and as I began to hump. But the sound that came next, you never would have thunk. The bitch passed gas. She farted. Blew wind. All over my set. For a moment I cringed. For I should have known. Don't go to that place where the sun don't shine for old what's-her-face.
I love it.
Now, I have a good anal story.
Okay.
My ex only let me do anal once.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I finally talked her into it. It took me a few weeks to talk her into it. And she had enough red wine in her where she didn't care.
So it was just an average Tuesday.
Yeah. So she was on all fours on the bed. I just line up, like, you know, like a cock, and then the asshole's a nice bullseye right there. I'm about 4 or 5 inches away, and I just go, wham!
Again,
and she buckled and hit the bed on her stomach and starts crying.
I'm surprised you didn't bend or break
and
it.
And I was...
Yeah, man, that's what I always think is that he could have snapped it, man. You could have snapped your junk.
And I was laughing like a maniac while she's just laying there curled in the fetal position crying.
You're such a dick. Look at you. The happiness that's on your face over there.
Oh, it was funny.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll wrap this thing up. It is the Hideout. Hefe Dubs, the Satchel Patch, hideoutradio.com for more info. On the virus 202, you are in the Hideout.
Hideout.
Prostitutes, pimps, gamblers.
XM202, the virus.
The Hideout with El Jefe and J Dubs.
Just two men sharing the night. It might seem wrong, but it's just right. It's just two men sharing each other. It's just two men like loving brothers. One is screaming, he's so happy. The other's screaming, a passionate shout. It's the night, man. The feeling's so wrong and right, man.
Learn more at hideoutradio.com. The Hideout.
wrapping it up here on a Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us right here in the hideout. I am El Jefe. That is Doug, the Satchel Patch here with you, coming down toward the end. We'll say all our thank yous later on, but it's just great to be able to be here and do this show in the form in which the hideout was genuinely meant to be.
Where you can swear, and it's not even about the swearing, where you can just talk about what you want to talk about without having to go, ooh, is this okay? Is this okay to talk about on the radio? You can just say, you know,
doo-doo.
Doo-doo and a cunt. You can say anything you want, and it's all cool. No one's going to call and complain that you said doo-doo and a cunt.
It's funny because it's all about the idea that you have to be ashamed and afraid of your own body, you know, and it starts with your body's evil. Mm-hmm. Then in turn, you might do evil things because you see a body, etc. I saw this. This is great, and this is right in your fucking wheelhouse, and I guarantee Satchel Patch is too. A guy ended up, and I don't know if he got convicted or what exactly it was, but he would put pubes in the steak of a woman that he hated.
Yeah. Just like the movie Waiting, almost.
Yeah, it very much was Waiting.
Waiting was tame, in my experience.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what were some things you guys did?
My favorite thing... I got caught hawking a loogie and some honey mustard one time.
Oh, God.
To where the point, it was one of my best friends. I worked at the restaurant with him, and this guy comes in, and he says, oh, man, last time I was here, you know, I had awful service. This jackass over here, I couldn't stand him. I had to call the manager, and he just starts cursing me, you know, cursing this guy, and I was like, who was it, you know? And he pointed my buddy out at the restaurant and said he called corporate and all kinds of stuff, and he didn't know we're from the same hometown, and he didn't know we were best friends. And I was like, you know, I got something for you. Went back there, ordered some chicken tenders, chicken nuggets, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I got up right on that honey mustard, dripped it in there. The bad thing about it is it was separated. I had to get a straw to stir it.
Oh, yeah. You need to get that all whipped up.
So he goes to dip his chicken nugget or tender, whatever the hell that thing was. He dipped it in there. And he said, when I came back to the table, he was talking to the manager. He said he picked it out of the honey mustard to put it in his mouth. It was still strong. The honey mustard was connected from that to there. But, you know, that was the one time I got caught, although he didn't think I did it. He thought my best friend did it. He was like, I know it wasn't him. He's been good. It's this other guy over here I didn't like. But
Did you let him take the fall for it?
No. You know, the manager, she sued it over. He said he was going to go have that, the hucker, or the honey mustard he got at the go container, said he was going to go have it DNA tested.
Oh, sure.
So then I start sweating it, like I'm going to give a damn about losing my job, you know, waiting tables or something like that. But I did start sweating it, but, you know, nothing happened.
Yeah, no one's going to take their little honey mustard thing in and pay all that money to get, you know, the contents tested.
But I farted on food. on steaks. They come send it back. I just put it right there on the line, put your butt right on top of it. You bust right on it. A nice scent, aroma.
This guy with the cook was...
tenderizer.
He was pissed off because he felt like, you know, the people were always bitching so that they could get some free shit.
Yeah.
You know, so he had enough. He just cut open the steak, pulled out some pubes, and just popped them right there in the middle of the steak. Dumbass gets figured out, though, and he's getting sued. Not only did he have to plead guilty to, like, placing a foreign object in food, but now they're also suing him for, like, emotional distress and all that shit.
Yeah, these customers, a lot of them do.
They ask for it.
Most of them, whenever they get it, it's because they deserve it.
Yeah, they don't realize what they're saying, but the whole time they're complaining, they're actually saying, like in server speak, when translated, will you please shit on my food? Will you please pick your nose and hide it in my mashed potatoes?
I would like a taint burger, please.
Yes.
That's some of the stuff they're throwing down at you. And, you know, I don't blame anybody, but that's why I don't care if my food's completely fucked up.
No.
I never complain.
No. Well, it's funny, too, because I'm with you. Well, I'm more with that because my mom was just an embarrassment as a kid growing up. She would complain, like, we're at a fast food restaurant. She'd bitch if something was wrong. And not only would she bitch, but then she'd demand something extra free.
Of course.
She's one of those. One time, a server had it was shitty service. So my mom leaves a penny for the woman. And the woman tracks down my mom in the parking lot. And they almost throw down over it. And so I have never...
because a penny... if you don't tip someone, that's one thing. A penny is an automatic, you know, hey... fuck you, you know, you're terrible, and I have no respect for you. That's just a slap in the face when you leave a penny. Now, if I ever did complain, I would never complain to the person that served me or, you know, to the actual locally owned or area restaurant. I would always call, like, a corporate if I was ever going to do that.
I can't believe I let this slip my mind. The one thing that I did, the greatest thing that I've ever done that I ever pulled off that I'm still satisfied to this day, is we're talking about butter earlier, duck butter and ball butter. I went and got about 3 fingers thick full of it and stirred it in a drink and rubbed it all over food. You wouldn't guess. One day I'm sitting there hanging out in the restaurant doing my thing, waiting on tables, and lo and behold, the prosecuting attorney from my child handing out pornography case, you know, I was out there doing the gay porn, handing that out. The prosecuting attorney walked in the restaurant and sat down at the table, and I thought, oh, boy. You know, I've been wanting to, you know, I've been wanting to have words with you for quite some time. And so this broad sat there. I didn't even acknowledge her. I didn't say hi. She never saw I was there. I, you know, kept an eye on what she ordered, looked at the server, you know, analyzed the whole situation. That table number come up. That food was in the window. I went to scrubbing hard on some balls, and she got a heavy dose.
Oh, now, one
you're
of the
an idiot.
I was a manager of a franchise restaurant, and the best thing that we got to do there was we got faxes of all the area complaints to corporate. So they have people at corporate sitting there typing down the complaint verbatim. So you get to see exactly what some of these dumb fucks did at the other places and got in trouble. Like, one person, the person called, complained, wanted a corporate number, so they gave him a gay porn line. And so,
I love it.
This mother had it on speakerphone, she said. I doubt that. I think she's just trying to play more, a victim, but had it on speakerphone in front of her kid, and the thing was for, like, men with juicy cocks or something like that. And
can I get that number?
It's my cell. So just dial it up anytime you want.
Ah, it's funny too, because the whole thing is about, like, the overvaluing of how correct. No one's ever wrong anymore. You know what I mean? The listener's always right.
Ugh.
The you know,
the customer's not always right. The listener's not always right, and the program director's not always right.
That makes me sick. That stuff. The customer's always right. It's not. You know, I work here. I'm here every day. I know how this goes. I know how this works. Don't come in here telling me you know the way it works just because, you know, you come in here one day a week, that, or, you know, whatever.
This isn't the way blah, blah, blah did it. This isn't the way they do it over at the restaurant I go to in Grass Lake, Iowa.
Right. Well, this
fuck
is,
you.
This is how we teabag things here. You know,
yeah,
let me go back and I'll have it your way. Teabag style.
But it's even too, like, you know, you cater to the whiners and the bitchers. You know what I mean? Even
if it's special interest groups.
Yeah, even if, your special interest groups or your kids or whatever. It's always the idea, man, of the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah.
That's the way it
always is. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want anybody to feel left out. And for crying out loud, if for some reason they did, let's apologize and make everything right. Fuck off.
I agree, but why don't we have more of that? Like, why is it because, is it because of the fact that, A, you know, it's all about, well, business, and we don't want people to, you know, to go away from our business? What is it?
And I think the little guy fucks himself over a lot, too. As far as, like, the restaurant I worked at and everything, there's so many dumb fucks who work at a restaurant or something like that that ruin it for the people who, you know, are pretty normal.
No.
Corporate and all the management see how many dumb fucks work there and automatically think, it was probably our worker because he is half retarded.
No, that's right. It's their fault for not having drug tests. If you have a drug testing policy, it keeps all this riffraff out.
It doesn't keep Down syndrome people out.
You're right. But
and those people drool more and end up fucking up more stuff than the guys high.
The people that work at these places work there because it's a job where they can go to work and get paid cash and they can get as high as they want to. When they get off work, they can get high and come into
work
and still make money. All right. But, you know, you got a point. You got me there.
I was going to say, I mean, really,
I mean,
maybe
you
the
can
customer
be a,
is right because you got a bunch of idiots working.
And the drug testing thing doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's why they work there.
No, CEOs, they don't get drug tested. You think fucking Mel Carmson has to walk in and piss in a cup?
If you go into any restaurant, 90% of the people working there
are
dope heads.
Just because they have drug testing or don't have drug testing doesn't mean it's any echelon of type of work.
Yes, it is. If you go to a job where they piss test and you look at the employees there compared to a restaurant where they don't piss test, there is a vast difference. You go to restaurants, you get people who work there so they can still get high and not have to worry about it and get cash.
I got to side with the Satcha Patch over there too, man, because usually if you're working in an environment where people are getting tested, the likelihood of them being a fuck up is a lot smaller than if it. Look at radio, man. Look at all the people you and I have worked with in our radio careers. There's a reason
they don't
drug test yet, Dave Diamond. There's a reason they don't drug test as it relates to radio. And the stations that do are lame. You know what I mean? So I think there's part of that, but it's straight laced. You know what I mean? Could you imagine if they drug tested in radio?
Oh, I wish they would. Then all these positions would be wide open.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have a job. It is the Hideout. F.A. Dubs, the Satcha Patch here on XM 202 if you want more information.
I think they stopped
us.
Testing for angel dust in like 84, so I'm safe.
Hideoutradio.com is the website if you want to go there as we come down toward the end of this. I know I got some sad news for you, Dubs, and that's that Playgirl will no longer be putting out their print issue. Does it shock you that still there are magazines of pornography?
No, because there are times you go camping. There are times that you are someplace that doesn't have Wi-Fi. You can be
your car, for instance.
Yeah, you can be in your car. You can be on the plane.
If you've got a PSP, if you've got a
good point.
BlackBerry, I mean, if you have just a regular old cell phone.
I don't think
now.
Race has anything to do with it. And you know,
it's a type of phone, type of PDA.
I thought it was kind of nuts. So I you know, there are times you need, you know, just regular paper.
It's porn. Yeah, I go with you. I like the paper. I like the paper aspect, and I think the
something
digital,
you can hold on to.
The digital porn has gotten out of control.
Press your cock up against
I can remember
it.
Somebody bringing their phone up to me saying, "Look at this naked chick on my phone." I'm like, dude, do you have to have porn on your phone?
Well, and it's like jerking off to midgets if you're looking at it on your small screen.
Since when do you have a problem with that?
I don't. Sometimes I do that on purpose.
Give me some 18.5 by 11, a good, decent-sized paper, that a nice blown-up video.
I like 14.5.
That's age, though.
Oh.
Oh, it's 11 by 8.5.
But here's the issue, though, as it really relates to it. I have to absolutely have some audio in some movement. I can't sit there and look at a fucking drawing and think, okay, I'm going to jerk off to this. Or look at a painting and say, I'm going to get myself off to this.
Well, who does that to paintings? What do you?
It's the same thing as if you had a magazine.
Oh,
no,
come
it's
on,
a picture.
Come on. Like when you were younger, you didn't jerk off to National Geographic or Fredericks of Hollywood. I mean,
that's when I'm younger, though. I've advanced. I've grown to
use
my other senses. You know what I mean? I've come to use, you know, audio port and more than the just actual looking at a still frame.
Sometimes the stories are even hotter than like audio and stuff. If you can get a good erotic story to read through.
No, I've never been able to yank the text.
Well, because you can't read. So I think that's more of the issue. Yeah, they don't focus on that in Arkansas.
All the words are all backwards.
Seriously, I look at that and I'm like, man, I can't believe that still even now there are newsstands. You know, that have just porn sitting there. I'm like, what the fuck? What a waste. That's when I get upset. That's when I'm like, we should be saving the environment.
Actually, that's when I want to buy it. When I get pop-up ads or anything like that on my laptop, computer, whatever, I just X out of it and stuff like that. But if I'm in the 7-Eleven getting a 12-pack of beer and maybe a pack of smokes or something like that, I see the magazine back there in the plastic, and I'm thinking, all right, man, there's a reason it's in the plastic. That may be good for a little Yankfest.
See, I don't know, though. I can't get over the fact if I'm just sitting there just staring at something and nothing's going on. It's like staring at a wall.
There is something going on.
It's like staring at a wall.
No, you flip the page. There's something new going on. There is about 120 pages of fresh new websites. Every page is a new website for you to jerk to.
Yep. It's like the old original movies, you know, like the flip book type.
Yeah.
You just run through the pages real quick and it's in motion.
You remember ever doing that like you were just talking about when you were a kid? You know what I mean? You're sitting there and you're just looking at it and you're just kind of staring. Then you kind of turn it a little bit.
Yeah,
you want to get a better angle.
You want to see if you can see her uterus through, like, by tipping it a certain way.
I remember
one time. Fucking idiots.
I remember one time as a kid, like, no shit. I'm there and I'm watching, you know, it was just like regular television.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
and, you know, the girl was topless, but the shot was from the neck up.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went up to the TV and looked down
to see if
maybe I could see a little nipple.
And I would press my dick up against the TV all the time.
Glad you said that, because I wasn't going to admit to that, but I've also done that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and then you walk away because mom never cleaned the front of the TV and you got a dusty dick.
So true. You never did that, son?
Absolutely not.
Oh, so now we're the freaks.
Yeah,
now we're the weirdos.
You were putting your penis on the TV, getting all that static. No, thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, I did,
man.
Get a little static shock every once in a while.
A little PIP.
You remember, you imagine, like, all the fucking places you put your dick.
Penis and pictures.
Just imagining and hoping somehow that they would come to life. You know, you press it up against the magazine, or you press it up against the TV, just thinking, man, if only this was like real science. Weird science.
Weird science.
Press it up against,
yeah,
the dead body. Please come to life. Please come to life.
It is the Hideout, Hefe Dubs, the Satchel Patch right here on XM202. Again, Hideout Radio if you want to go and learn more. Did you boys have fun?
Yeah, it was a blast.
It was a good time.
It really was a good time.
I mean, XM's really the way, or Sirius XM is really the way to do radio now.
I got to burst my XM virgin bubble, I guess, as you know, whatever.
Yeah, because you had your thumb in your asshole show. It's been interesting.
Yeah, the two of you have just been fantastic. All right, so if people want to learn more about us, Dubs, they can go to Hideout Radio. Like
HideoutRadio.com. That can, you know, really send you around to all the websites. HideoutHeretics.net is a fan board. You can get the podcast at WJFK.com.
Let me ask you this really quickly.
Sure.
We're coming down and we're wrapping this thing up. Do you enjoy stuff more when it's cursing? Like,
yeah,
cursing, nudity,
yeah,
graphic violence.
Yeah, that's why HBO, Showtime, those are the better channels, because you can watch stuff that people actually talk like human beings and adults.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it isn't based around swearing, it's more natural.
Right.
You know, in real life.
Because it is true, like, the best shit is on cable.
Yeah.
Dexter, Weeds, Entourage. Even if you want to go back all the way, like, The Sopranos,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? Like, all the Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, the really good shows are all, you know, on that outlet in which you can do more than just terrestrial. Because you notice that, man. You notice that as it relates to the top television shows, and it's all stupid-ass fucking game shows. And the good, real, new content is on that platform that allows you to be able to get out there, you know, and say some shit and do some shit. You know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
What about you, Satchel Patch? I mean, I know that we never really had this conversation with you. Do you even know what HBO and Showtime are? Do you have cable?
No, unfortunately, I do not. I get whatever I get with whatever I can pick up with my co-hanger in the back of the TV. I'm good with that.
What the hell's wrong with your eyes?
Don't worry about that. I had the pink eye, man. I've had pink eye for like 4 days.
What the
are you
fuck
kidding
are you
me?
Serious? Why are you here at this?
It's
the
okay,
station?
Man. It's okay. It's just a little pink eye. I never hurt anybody.
That's what you get. That's what you get for being a toilet for your Cuban bitch. And letting her just drop a load in your eye. That's the way they do it.
Yeah.
Really? So you do? Is that what you do? You sticking your nose, your face in her ass?
Yeah, I'm not above it. I'd rather be below it.
In the eye of the storm?
The brown eye of the storm.
Yeah.
And with that Cuban girl, man, what is just... Oh,
damn,
like, wait a second.
All right, here's two rules about Spanish, just being in the Spanish culture. Don't drink the water and don't eat the asshole. Those are two things you don't do.
Oh, look, I see a little chicken and rice in there. Oh, yeah, I see a little byproduct. Just disgusting. You really got the pink eye?
Yeah. It'll be all right, though.
I guess.
You got glasses. You're protected.
I guess. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's a condom. Pink eye. Fucking idiot. All right, you guys. Again, I want to... let's do our thank yous here. I want to thank, first of all, Ron and Fez. Ron Bennington is my hero. And I mean, I'm going to call him a mentor and potentially the godfather to my baby.
Ron and Fez, noon to 3.
Ron and Fez, noon to 3. O&A for, of course, having this channel and helping to come over and trail... blaze the trail, as it were, to satellite radio. Thank you to O&A and everyone else that allows us on here. Wiki for giving the go-ahead.
Earl for putting it all together for us and making sure we're on the air and strong. Yeah. E-Rock for...
being a friend.
Yeah, just being a decent guy. I mean, sure, he catches a lot of stuff for being fat, but, you know... it's true.
It's a part of being fat.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody else. Again, if you want to go download podcasts, check it all out. HideoutRadio.com.
is where you can go and click kind of all the shit we do. So until next time, America, we out, bitch. 5,000.
5,000.
5,000.
Everyone knows it goes. Kick him to the floor, step on them hard. Step on them hard, kick him to the floor. Cause I be smacking my hoes. I be smacking my hoes. I be smacking my hoes.
Not interested.
I don't.
I 5,000.
XM 202.